Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for this edition of Sports Byline. We have a lot to talk about on this edition, but let me give you the fan poll numbers. New fan poll question, which pro sports season do you look forward to the most? And as you would expect, I guess because it is the NFL season, 49% of you saying the National Football League, and then 22% of you say Major League Baseball, followed by the NBA at 18%, and then the National Hockey League bringing up the rear at 11%. I think it surprises me that the NBA is really lower than Major League Baseball, but that could have something to do with the playoffs that are underway as well. Let me tell you what's coming up next week, because we have some interesting guests. Julie Romanowski is going to be with us. That'll be on Monday. And I say that because if you remember the name Romanowski, her husband was Bill Romanowski, won a couple of Super Bowl championships. He was playing with the 49ers at one time, also with Denver. And it's going to be a woman's perspective of what it's like to be married to an NFL player, and also the things that they have to go through and everything. John Sally, I love John Sally, will be here to talk a little basketball. Barry Sanders for you on Wednesday. Michael Phelps will be here, the Olympic swimmer, and that'll be on Thursday. And then a guy that I got to know when I was with CBS Sports doing NFL football, Bob Stenner, who was their top producer. And he will give you a look-see behind the scenes. In other words, in the truck when they're doing games, not only football, but all the other great events that he did. And I think that you'll find it fascinating. Roy Eisenhart standing by to kick things off, as he always does at this time. He's been a lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's, and now he teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. And he joins us each week for a segment we call Inside Angle. And, of course, the big story this week is about the college basketball scandal. And it got underway on Monday, and so we'll talk to him, see what his read is on it. And, of course, being a lawyer, he should have an interesting perspective. And also Robert Parrish will be with us toward the end of this hour. Hall of Fame center who was known for his strong defense, his high arching jump shot, and his clutch rebounding late in the games as well. And so we'll talk about his fine, fine career being with the Celtics. And then squeezed in between will be our man Bruce Marshall, senior writer for the Gold Sheet. He'll drop by and do what he does every week, which is break down the key NFL games, give you his thoughts and his predictions as well. So when we come back, Roy Eisenhart joins us and you on Sports Byline.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-426-3569. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-426-3569 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-426-3569 to see if you qualify. That's 800-426-3569.
This online bank was foreclosing on us. They even had documents that I signed for a home equity loan, only I didn't. What a nightmare.
She's the victim of a devastating crime called mortgage fraud. Your home's title and mortgage are kept online, where thieves, foreign and domestic, hack them. It's simple. They forge your title and borrow every penny of equity you have in your home, like this police officer.
I know about title fraud, so I registered with Home Title Lock and discovered some thief had already taken over title. Thank God I found out in time.
No bank, identity theft program, or insurance protects you. Home Title Lock will. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title and mortgage. The instant it detects tampering, they're on it, helping to shut it down. Find out if you're already a victim of title fraud. Get your $100 search free with sign up. Visit HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
It's time to find adventure on every drive. With Pennzoil Synthetics, you get complete protection for top engine performance. And between October 1st and November 30th, you'll get travel rewards to help you on your journey. With the purchase of any Pennzoil specialty motor oil change, you can earn up to $100 in travel reward credit. Save on hotels, rental cars, and activities. Visit Pennzoil.com/travelon to find participating locations. Pennzoil, make the switch. Travel on. Offer ends 11/30. Terms apply. Full details at Pennzoil.com/travelon.
Save on your next oil change with 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter on sale now for the same price of Valvoline Conventional at $26.99. Extend the life of your vehicle and improve engine performance with Valvoline at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr. Time to check in with Roy Eisenhardt as we do each week. We call this insightful segment Inside Angle. Roy, of course, a lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's, and now teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. We take a look at some of the interesting stories in sports, try to give you kind of a different angle on them. The big story this week, no doubt about it, is the lawsuit with basketball and that scandal. And let me just tell people some of this. Trial begins over the hoops corruption, and Adidas executive and two other men hatched a scheme to exploit blue-chip college basketball recruits for profit by showering their families with secret cash payments from the athletic gear giant, a prosecutor said at a criminal trial expected to detail the dark side of big money in college sports. Roy, you've watched this thing develop for some period of time. We're just at the beginning stages on this. What sense do you have of what's happening and where this might go?
My sense is exactly the term you use, the dark side. I think what it's going to do is expose one of the, what I would describe as collateral effects of the way college basketball is structured today, particularly with regard to how the colleges recruit high school players, particularly those who are only going to be there for a year because of the NBA one-and-done rule. So how do you get the great players to come to your school? Well, the colleges can't do it directly, but the shoe companies have figured out how to do it by offering, theoretically, I mean, this is what's alleged in the lawsuit, these under-the-table payments to the families of the kids. But to me, this is symptomatic, as we've talked about before, of the larger problem, and that is that these kids are essentially exploited in college to play there for a year. They get nothing for doing it. They can't go and have a pro career because the collective bargaining agreement doesn't allow it. And when you set up situations like that, there's always going to be somebody who comes in and figures out an angle where they can do some under-the-table stuff. It's just, it's human nature. And as bad as this sounds, I would say it is totally predictable that this kind of arrangement is going to arise.
Yeah, and it's widespread, too. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I've had coaches tell me that it's widespread. One of those that is alleged to have done some of these payments is Christian Dawkins. And among the revelations in court this week, documents suggesting that Dawkins paid $5,000 to Colin Sexton and another calling for $1,500 a month to Sexton, $21,000 for travel for his family, and a 4-year job for his brother, $35,000 per year with a $5,000 annual raise. This is ugly.
Yeah, but you got to, who is at fault here? You know, I'm not forgiving anybody, but I think that we have to do is look at the root cause of this problem. And it's the combination of them. Emphasis now in the colleges on making money off college basketball. And when you combine that with the one-and-done rule, which says that kids go to college for a year and then they leave, I'm talking about the good ones, the first-round draft picks, you inevitably are going to create a situation where corruption gets driven. And so I go back to something we've pounded on a lot, and that is until they change the draft rules for the NBA, if it's not this kind of scandal, it's going to be an academic scandal, or it's going to be coaching, recruiting violation scandal. It's going to be something until we figure out a different system for segueing kids out of high school into college and into the pros.
It's very interesting to see what the defense strategy might be, because I read this earlier this week and heard about this as well, that the defense lawyer is saying, wait a minute, it's the breaking of maybe NCAA rules, but it's really not anything criminal. That's a very interesting question.
It is. The charges are federal wire fraud, because they were, you know, using a banking system to transfer these monies technically across interstate lines, which is what makes it a federal crime. So that's what they're alleging, that these were fraudulent payments that were made, and using a federal banking system, it makes it a federal crime. I want to go to one statistic, though, that I read that kind of reinforces why I think the root cause here is the emphasis on money in the colleges. I saw it in 2015, and I'm switching to football here, college football. College football coaches as a group in the United States were paid about $550 million, starting with Nick Saban at Alabama, whose reported salaries around 11 plus. The value of the scholarships, remember, that's not cash. That just means the schools let the kids go there free. The value of the scholarships total across the country in the five big conferences now I'm talking about, I'm not talking about the Ivy League and stuff like that, was $170 million. So you have the coaching staff being paid four times or so in salaries, what the schools are giving away in scholarships, and then these kids are required, in the case of football, to be there for 3 years and can make no money. If they make any money at all, they'd lose their eligibility. And when you design a system like that, how long do you think it is going to be before some guy figures a way to work around it?
I'm sure we'll be talking about this for a long time. By the way, there was a trade agreement announced this week by the White House. The president very happy about the trade with Mexico and Canada, but he also threw a bone to the National Football League. Tell me about that.
Apparently, and I don't understand why this was the case, but there was, of course, the NFL televises in Canada. That's a big market for them. But there was a rule the broadcast, they couldn't be sold to Canadian advertisers as such. And so this was costing the NFL a lot of money, because, of course, the Canadian advertisers want to advertise in Canada. So through some subparagraph of the new trade agreement, they dropped that rule so that the NFL is allowed to plug in Canadian broadcast advertising into the Canadian broadcast, and which brings in net a lot more revenue for the NFL. And so it's just one of these things that shows you why you see leagues and owners and so forth cozying up to politicians in different ways, because there's a lot of little subtle regulatory provisions that can positively affect the revenue stream of these sports leagues.
Tell me what you think about this. Major League Baseball's average attendance dropped 4% to 28,830 per game. It is the lowest since 2003, after 14 consecutive seasons topping 30,000. The Reds, Orioles, White Sox, Twins, Marlins, and Pirates drew their smallest attendance since opening brand new ballparks. Is that telling us anything?
Yeah. I don't think there's one thing I would point to. I think it's multifactorial. I think some of it's the younger generation coming along doesn't have quite the focus on slow-moving, slow-paced sports like the older generations were because of the addiction to smartphones and so forth. But I also think it's the ticket price. I mean, you think about it, if you're a family, you want to go to a baseball game and take your wife and two kids. I mean, that's probably a $600, $700 investment by the time you pay for the beers and so forth. So I also think that there's so much TV exposure now that it's a lot simpler not to go to games. It's easier to sit home and switch channels. And also baseball, to a great extent, competes with other sports. I mean, if we think about it right now, all four sports are in play. The NFL is, of course, active. Baseball is active in its playoffs, which is its biggest season part. But you also have the NHL and the NBA starting their exhibition season. So there's so much competition so many times during the year against baseball that they're really up against the surging popularity of the other sports. And there's only so much fan attention to sports. So you're going to inevitably find a decline in physical attendance. And I'm not even counting college football, which is also going on now.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Also, the big league batting average dropped 7 points to .248,
yeah,
the lowest level since 1972, and strikeouts topped hits for the first time.
Yeah, that's the key number, I think. There's so much emphasis now on the long ball and the home run, and, you know, because the salaries correlate to home run hitting and stuff like that, that we see big swings on the third strike. And this whole concept of shortening up and going to right on when you've got two strikes seems to be out of fashion. Also, I think the shift has something to do with it. When you watch the games now with the overlay and showing the percentage where they hit here and where they hit there, batters are going to start to have to adapt to that shift and start changing the way they approach,
yeah,
it if they want to get batting averages up.
Roy, take care. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure.
Again, Roy Eisenhart, we call it Inside Angle. He's with us each week here on Sports Byline. We continue with more of you and America's sports talk show.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family, or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. Call now. That's 800-508-5774.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Another big weekend in the National Football League, and as always, he drops by on Fridays. Bruce Marshall, fine senior writer for the Gold Sheet, to break it down for you. And let's talk first of all about the Ravens at the Browns. That was a tough game last week for the Browns to lose, and I still question the NFL saying they made the right call when they reviewed the measurement, that if they had called it as they saw it initially, then it would have been a Browns victory over the Raiders. So what happens this weekend?
Yeah, that puzzled me too. That sure looked like a first down to me, and I don't know how they overturned that, but it is what it is. And the Browns had chances to close that game down before. But I think you can see they're in a position now where they can have a chance to win these games, and that's what Baker Mayfield has done for them at quarterback. However, they are facing what might be the best team in the AFC right now, and that's Baltimore. We saw what the Ravens did the other night against the Steelers on Sunday, just took apart Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. They've played one bad quarter this season, the first quarter on that Thursday a few weeks ago against Cincinnati. Joe Flacco is loving his new receivers. That includes Michael Crabtree and includes John Brown from Arizona. He's averaging over 22 yards per catch. Alex Collins is running up the storm. And I think they'll outscore the Browns here, although Baker Mayfield in Cleveland will be making noise before this season is done. 34-23 Baltimore, and that's a Gold Sheet key release on Sunday.
And the Magic Man brought back the Chiefs in Denver when they knocked off the Broncos late in that ball game. They're going to go up against the Jags, but this is a Jags team that will not have Fournette running the football. So how does it shake out?
Yeah, he re-aggravated the hamstring last week, and it's hard to see Jacksonville trading points for Kansas City. Now, they will try to do what Denver did last week, and maybe Denver rolled out the roadmap to deal with Kansas City on that Monday night game. Get real physical on defense, run the football. It would sure help if Fournette is in there instead of the backups for the Jags, but they'll try that recipe and see if they can bang away at that Chiefs defense, which is a bit suspect. At this stage of the season, before we get into the winter months here, this Kansas City offense is built for the new age of the NFL, and you mentioned the Magic Man Mahomes, what he can do, all those weapons around him. I just don't think the Jags are going to be able to keep pace. We'll see if Kansas City can sustain this into the second half of the season, but in early October, they still look good. 31-22 Chiefs on Sunday.
The Giants are still looking for their personality and also kind of getting into a rhythm. They haven't found it yet, as they've down 1-3 on the season. And they'll be tested again this week by the Panthers in Carolina.
Yeah, boy, you know, Ron, here we were thinking things would be different for the Giants, but after four games, like you said, 1-3, they're looking a lot like they did last year. The seemingly annual upgrade of the offensive line once again looks like it's failing. You know, Eli Manning just can't get out of the way now, and he's got some pretty good weapons to help him out in OBJ and Saquon Barkley, the rookie from Penn State. But, you know, if he just doesn't have time to throw back there, this offense is going to bog down. So until further notice, the Giants just not putting things together. I still like what Carolina is doing with its new offense coordinated by North Turner. They're really finding some space for Christian McCaffrey and some of the weapons at Cam Newton's disposal. I think that Carolina is probably the way to go here. 26-13, Panthers. That's how the Gold Sheet sees this one on Sunday.
A short work week for the Broncos, who played on Monday night and lost, of course, to Kansas City. And they'll head out on the road to take on the Jets at the Meadowlands. But I think the question here is, after winning their first game of the season over Detroit, they've dropped three in a row. So what happens to the Jets this weekend?
Yeah, boy, Sam Darnold really looking like a rookie that he is at quarterback the last few weeks. He's really struggling right now, and that Denver defense might be able to do some business here with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb attacking from the edge. Vance Joseph, the head coach, is under some heat now in Denver. He's got to win a game on the road. They've lost 10 of their last 11 away from home. Interesting anniversary of this one. It was 50 years ago, Ron. Denver went into Old Shea Stadium and won with Steve Kempsey at quarterback. That is the biggest underdog win, a 22-point underdog in Gold Sheet publishing history over the last 62 years in the NFL. So maybe Denver can be inspired from that win from 50 years ago. 23-17 Broncos, we think they do that. Wherever they can get the inspiration, they could use it, and we think they win on Sunday.
Another one of those head puzzlers, and it might be because of the injury factor with Atlanta. They're underdogs to the Steelers, and the Steelers are 1-2-1. And really have not looked that consistent or that good this season.
No, they haven't. And you wonder, you know, something looks wrong there. Now, Le'Veon Bell, there are reports he is going to return, but not for a few weeks, maybe not till the bye week, week seven. So they're going to have to go without him again. And boy, he, I'll tell you, negotiations-wise, that would be his, it was advantageous to his case what Pittsburgh looked like on Sunday against the Ravens in that loss. So something's got to give here. I don't know. Atlanta, though, Ron, injuries on defense, injuries in the secondary. The psychology of this team right now, they are finding games to lose every week. The owner, Arthur Blank, sounds kind of upset. I wonder if Dan Quinn is coaching himself into some trouble if this team can't win some of these close games. Pittsburgh off a loss, though. They've still got Big Ben. They've still got Antonio Brown. And with the Falcons leaky in the secondary, I think this could be a bad matchup for Atlanta. 34-27 Pittsburgh. We'll give them one more chance to bounce back this week.
And the Chargers are going to take on another San Francisco Bay Area team. This time it's the Oakland Raiders, and they are underdogs, even though they got their first win last week going overtime in beating the Browns. So what happens this time?
You know, yeah, Ron, I mean, this has been kind of an underdog series in recent years. The Raiders didn't get it done at the end of last season when things had really unraveled. Before Jack Del Rio was dismissed. But, you know, the Gruden Raiders, maybe they got a break last week from the refs, but they did take advantage of that, and they did fight their way back, and Derek Carr putting up some pretty big numbers. I don't know that we've seen the buy signal yet from the Chargers last week. They were very fortunate to escape that win against the 49ers, and that's sort of been the pattern with the Bolts in recent years. Once they start to click, then you start to ride them. But I'm a little bit reluctant right now because – like we said, the history of this series and the fact that Chargers just haven't looked that dominant yet. We're going to call a slight upset here, 26-23 Oakland. Now they got a win under their belt. Maybe they can do two in a row.
Two teams that are really not looking settled or at least in the swing of things are going to face each other. The defending Super Bowl champion Eagles are going to be at home against the Vikings. How do you see it?
Yeah, you're right. And the Vikings could really use this, and so could the Eagles. Neither team over 500 at this point. Philadelphia's got a few concerns here. One, secondary, after Rodney McLeod, top safety, went down, they've been giving up far too many big plays in recent weeks. Two, protecting Carson Wentz. He got sacked four times, hit 11 times last week against the Titans. They haven't flashed their Super Bowl form of a year ago quite yet. Now, Minnesota's only got one win thus far itself, but you did see Kirk Cousins start to get into the groove a little bit. They were chasing the Rams for that game last week, and the Rams are tough, 422 yards passing. I think that should be enough to give Minnesota a chance to avenge that 38-7 loss in the NFC title game last January when Cousins was not on the Vikings. 30-23 Minnesota. We're going to call the slight upset for the Vikes on Sunday.
And speaking of the Rams, they'll be tested up in Seattle against the Seahawks.
Yeah, but boy, you know, I think right now, Ron, I mean, the Rams, it looks like they could have the NFC West sewn up by Halloween almost. I mean, they are just a smooth-running machine. They have a few extra days of prep for this game. Seattle has been like a bumper cars here. They have got a couple of wins somehow the last two games over the Cowboys and last Sunday against the Cardinals, but they're taking a big step up in class here. Earl Thomas's injury in the secondary, devastating to a defense that has already been, you know, the Legion of Boom is now gone from a few years ago now that Thomas is out, and the offense just not stretching the field for Russell Wilson. The torch was passed late December last year when the Rams went up there 42-7. The NFC West turned into the Rams division, and they'll do it again here. 38-20 Rams shouldn't have too much trouble on Sunday.
And the battle for Texas will be Sunday night. You've got the Dallas Cowboys and, of course, the Houston Texans facing off.
Yeah, this matchup looks a little better than it did a week ago at this time because both teams are off a win. It was Houston's first of the season. They are helped out a little bit by some faulty decision-making by the Colts late, but Deshaun Watson putting up better numbers. Most importantly, they're getting J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney revved up on that pass rush now. Better numbers for them recent weeks, and I think they can carry it over against the Cowboys on Sunday night. Yes, Dallas won, but all they're doing is going back and forth, Ron. And they're winning at home, and they're losing on the road. They're back on the road this week. Still don't like Dak Prescott's weapons. And the Texans can get them in this one. 27-20, we're taking Houston Sunday night.
And on Monday night, it's going to be the Redskins at the Saints. And this is an interesting game in that I think the Saints are playing pretty well. But this will be a good test for them.
It will be, and it could be a pretty big night down there. Drew Brees ready to break some records on Monday night, and it just works out. It's going to be a Monday night game at the Superdome, so it should be a pretty festive atmosphere. But the Saints, though they looked good last week against the Giants at home the first 2 weeks of the season, they had real struggles. And, you know, there's some thought that they'll get Mark Ingram back this week, which is a plus, but still not sure about that defense. And Jay Gruden seems to be figuring out some good things to do with Alex Smith at quarterback, and he should have Adrian Peterson available. The ankle injury, he wouldn't have played last week, but the Redskins had a bye. So good for Washington. The bye came then. They'll probably get Peterson on Monday night. They'll keep it close. Not sure they can win. It'll be a wild one, too. 33-30, our score forecast for the Saints. But the Skins make it interesting.
What do you have this week for all our Sports Byline USA listeners?
Thank you, Ron. Check us out online at goldsheet.com. Hey, for Byline listeners, basketball season coming up quick. Got a special offer on Gold Sheet Hoops, first issue coming up less than 2 weeks. Yes, it's that time of season again. And basketball and all of our football stuff. Give us a call, 800-798-GOLD. Goldsheet.com. It picks up there as well as VegasInsiderDonBest.com.
Okay, Bruce, enjoy the weekend games, and we'll talk to you next week here on Sports Byline. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Ron.
Bruce Marshall, fine senior writer for the Gold Sheet. He has been with me for 27 years, dropping by on Thursday to take a look at the key college games, breaking it down for you. He does the same thing with the games in the National Football League. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.
Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan? Have no equity? Bad credit? Or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit. And 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. That's 800-847-1183.
Everyone likes to, you know, scrapbook. You scrapbook on the couch, the kitchen counter, and your favorite place to scrapbook? The bedroom. And what could possibly make scrapbooking any better? KY Duration. With KY Duration Spray, men everywhere are scrapbooking longer, and that's great for their partners who really enjoy scrapbooking too. So go ahead, scrapbook tonight with KY Duration Spray for men. Last longer, stay in the moment, use as directed.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Defend your vehicle from harmful elements and restore shine with Armor All Original Protectant. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and pick up a bottle of Armor All Original Protectant for $5.99. Renew, revitalize, and protect your vehicle with Armor All Original Protectant. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Robert Parrish joins us on Sports Byline, the former Celtic great, played 21 seasons in the NBA, and of course a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. Robert, as you know, Red Auerbach passing away recently, and I'm just wondering, when you think back about what he meant to the Celtic organization, what was your first impression of him?
Well, I was very impressed with him. He's everything that they say about him in terms of a great coach. He's a great administrator. Psychologist. One of the most profound things he ever said to me, yet it was very simplistic in the answer. I asked him what he contributed his success to in all the capacities that he held in the Celtic organization. He told me he learned early on that you don't handle people, you work with people. And I think that's one of the reasons why Red was so successful at all of his endeavors in terms of coaching and, like I said, being an administrator and just basketball in general. I think Red Auerbach is a blueprint to how things should be done in the NBA.
Robert, you started out your career with the Golden State Warriors for the first 4 years, and then you came over for 14 years with the Boston Celtics. Did Red ever tell you why he wanted you on the Celtics?
Well, he told me that I had what it took to be good and be successful. He thought that I understood about team, and that's what he was all about, and the Celtics all about team concept. And he admired those qualities, and then he said he had been watching me from afar, and he liked the way I played the game, the way I approached the game, and he thought I'd be a good fit with the Celtics.
When you think back about what you knew about the Celtic organization when you were playing with the Warriors and compare it to what you found out it to be, what were the differences and what were the similarities?
Well, there's no differences. I think it was everything that I thought it would be from afar in terms of Red was only concerned about one thing, about winning, and also Red went out and got the right pieces to make sure that we were successful as a team. That's one thing I always admired about Red when he was in administrator capacity. He gave you everything you need to be successful.
What was the biggest misconception about him?
I can't think of one. Personally.
He was what he appeared to be then.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, Red, what I respect most about Red was a straight shooter. There's no pretense. When Red told you something, it was a fact. He didn't lie to you. He was honest. He was reliable, and he was loyal. You can't ask for much more than that.
How did he motivate the players? Was it out of fear?
No, not at all. I told you before, it was all about respect.
Okay.
Everybody respected Red, and because Red gave respect. Red respected you as a man. And, of course, if somebody respects you as a man, you got to respect him in return as a man. And I think that's why so many people hold Red in such high regard, is because of the way he treated people. Now, I'm not saying that he was perfect. We all got flaws. I can only go by my experience, what I experienced with Red. I have nothing but positive things to say about Red.
What's your favorite story about him, Robert?
My favorite story about Red, when I got traded in 1980 to come to the Celtics, he flew me in for a meeting to get acquainted with him, himself, and the organization. So he's taking me out for Chinese food. and we driving our store drive, and Red, I think speed limit is like 40, and Red driving 55 and a 40. he's looking at me for like 30, 40 seconds at a time, not looking at the highway. And I'm about to pull the armrest off the seat, you know, trying to step on the brake, so to speak, you know, the brake for him. And the most terrifying driving experience of my life. And the whole time he tell me about the city of Boston, what to expect, and the type of team I was going to be playing with, and how he felt like this is an environment that I could flourish in. And the whole time, though, he's flying down Store Drive on the way to this Chinese place, and did not have his eyes on the road. And to me, that was terrifying and also worrisome. But I told myself afterwards, why should I have been concerned when Red was concerned? It didn't bother him at all.
Robert, talk to me about the evolution of the big man in the game when you came into it and where you think the big man's role is today in basketball.
When I came into the league, it was all about the big fella. Everything revolved around the center or went through the center. Now, things have changed now because there's not any true centers except for two or three. And also the rules of the game has changed so much, too, with all the zones and coverage that they play now. So it really makes it difficult for a low post guy to be effective night in and night out. So you see more of a perimeter game by all the bigs now. So that's just the difference that I see when I came into the league as opposed to the inside play today.
You were 7 foot tall, and so everybody has expectations of 7-footers, but you wanted to be a well-rounded player. Did it bother you that big men had a kind of a mentality of being able to do only certain things when they were 7 foot tall?
It didn't bother me because I always felt like, you know, if you're on the floor, you should be able to do a little of everything. You know, my junior high school coach told me that no matter what position that you play, you should be able to take more than one dribble. Without dribbling it off your foot, I always pride myself on that. You should be able to pass the basketball. You should be able to shoot the basketball. You should be able to catch the basketball. In other words, just be fundamentally way around it. And that's something that I thought would turn out to be a very important lesson that I learned early on. So I always pride myself on being able to do all those things effectively.
I remember I was doing a Sonics game one time. Bill Russell was the coach with the Seattle Supersonics, and maybe it was either sometime after that, but you were playing, and you stepped out, and you took a jumper, and I thought to myself, this has a high arc to it. Where did that shot develop from, Robert?
It came from my junior high school coach. When I first started playing basketball, which was junior high school, I shot the ball on the line very flat. Didn't have any type of arc on it at all. And he told me that one day when I meet someone my size, I was going to have difficulty scoring. So he took a handle out of a push broom. My junior high school coach is only like 5'3". So he took that broom, the handle out of the push broom, and had me shooting over that broom handle. And that's how I shot the ball with so much arc on it, because of that, getting it over that broom handle.
When the Celtics came together with you, Kevin McHale, and Larry Bird, that threesome there, everybody seemed to fit comfortably together. How long did it take for the three of you and then the other role players to come together into a single unit that led to the championships that you won?
I would say right after exhibition season. No, we could, well, at least I could. I see in exhibition season that it could be something special because of the way that the chemistry was and the way we clicked together and the way we seemed to have the sixth sense of where everybody's going to be. And everybody was on the same page. We had that common goal, where we wanted to go. And also we had I thought, one of the best coaches in Bill Fitch. You know, one thing I always admired about Bill that I thought we was lacking when everybody came together in training camp was mental toughness. We all had the physical toughness because you understand how training camp is. But he instilled in us a mental toughness that we needed to be successful night in and night out and also pursue the ultimate prize, and that's the NBA championship.
How do you define mental toughness?
Mental toughness is getting it done when you don't want to be on the court. Getting it done when you're tired and you don't feel like that you can take that extra step to get back on defense or make the effort to get a loose ball or get a rebound or to bow down and play that hard-nosed, tough defense in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the ball game when you're tired or when you're hurt. or when you banged up. When you're having a tough night and you're not playing well. That's when the mental toughness come in, and that's when Bill Fitch, that's what he instilled in us. He had us believing that no matter what the circumstances was, we could get it done.
The thing that I've always believed, and maybe you can confirm this for me, Robert, is that Larry Bird and Michael Jordan were very similar in their same drive in basketball. And what I mean by that is that they really flourished and played their best basketball when they either had controversy around them or they were challenged by somebody or they created a false challenge in order to motivate themselves. Am I correct in that observation?
Well, I think so. I think you take it a step further. I think there's strong dislike of losing. I think they really brought out their competitive juices to do what's necessary to ensure win. That they strongly dislike losing. You know, it was almost to the point where, you know, it just messed up their night. You know, when we did lose. And I've had the pleasure of playing with both athletes, so I understand that mentality of how seriously they took losing. You know, most people when they lose, you know, no big deal. But those two guys, when they lost, it was a big deal. And I think that's why they did everything they could to ensure that you didn't have many nights when we didn't get it done.
I don't think that there was a better rivalry in professional sports, maybe even in professional basketball, between the Lakers and the Boston Celtics. That period of time when you guys won championships and you beat them and you had to play them, what was the essence of that rivalry? What made that rivalry, Robert, so good?
Well, I think you got to go back a few years before Larry and Magic came into the league. I think it started with Russell and Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
Was at Philadelphia. And then when Chamberlain got traded out to the Lakers, that rivalry continued between Russell and Chamberlain, and also that Laker-Celtic rivalry continued. And then when Magic and Larry hooked up in the NCAAs, and then that rivalry continued on into the NBA with their respective teams. So I think that's how that rivalry grew in intensity. Because of the players involved and also the teams involved also.
Also, did the fact that you all were from Boston, kind of a blue-collar atmosphere or attitude about that town and the Showtime atmosphere of Los Angeles and Hollywood factor into it at all?
Oh, yeah, something to do with it. And on top of that, with all the success that the Celtics had, not only the Lakers, but everybody wanted a piece of the Celtics. Everybody wanted to beat the Celtics because when you're on top of the hill, everybody wants some. Everybody want to be the one that knocks you off that pedestal. So I think it just added to the intensity of the rivalry because of, well, not only the success that the Celtics had, but the Lakers in their own right were a very successful franchise. So that just added to all the intensity. Then you throw in the players in the mix, that rivalry between Magic and Larry. And the other players, I think that just made it a very more appealing rivalry. And also the games we played, because we was always playing for something. Every time we met, we were playing for the best record. We were playing for bragging rights. We were playing for the championship. We were playing for all that. So that just made it even a more interesting rivalry, I thought.
In the 21 years you played professional basketball, Robert, now as you reflect back on it, what means the most to Robert Parrish?
I would have to say the Hall of Fame honor, because that's something I never expected. I always when I was playing basketball, I wanted to be an all-star, and I wanted to be on the championship ball club. So after I accomplished those accomplishments, I thought all my basketball accolades was over with. And so to get that award, you know, that's as high an honor as you can get. So that's the ultimate compliment to anybody's basketball career. So for me, that was the defining moment for me. That put it all in a neat little package that I did something right to get such a high honor.
I got to tell you, the trio of you, Kevin McHale, and Larry Bird, many regarded as the best front court in NBA history, and I have to agree with that. But one of the things in watching you, Robert, both as a basketball player and as a person, your quiet demeanor, the manner in which you went about the way you played this game, really is the thing that I think was probably unsung and never got the type of credit it deserved. Thank you for joining us on Sports Byline, and thank you for talking basketball about Red Auerbach and about your great career. Take care, Robert.
Thank you.
Robert Parrish joining us again. 21 seasons of playing professional basketball and in the NBA Hall of Fame. And, of course, he was nicknamed the Chief after the mute Native American in that film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And who was it that gave him that nickname? Cedric Maxwell. We continue on Sports Byline.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
That's going to wrap up this hour of Sports Byline, where we talk some basketball with Robert Parrish, Hall of Fame center who was known as the Chief. He was also known for his strong defense, his high arching jump shot, and also his clutch rebounding late in the games. He played 21 seasons, 14 of those with the Boston Celtics, and he was a 9-time All-Star and named one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history. Also, Bruce Marshall with us, as he is each week, fine senior writer for the Gold Sheet, breaking down the key NFL football games, giving you his analysis and his predictions. And as always, we did the Inside Angle segment. Roy Eisenhart, lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's, and now teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. I'm Ron Barr. Thanks for being a part of America's Sports Talk Show.
Hi, this is Edward Brown. Join me every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific Time as I host Sports Econ 101, the show where we look at sports from a business perspective, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
For the past few hours, U.S. senators have been poring over the FBI report on its investigation of sexual assault allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Most Republicans say they found the report very thorough, saying it uncovered nothing of concern. However, Democrats, like Senator Dianne Feinstein, see it differently. She called the investigation
very limited, and it will be interesting after all of the members have an opportunity to read the documents. And we have an opportunity in public to discuss our conclusions.
Republican leaders want to vote on Kavanaugh's confirmation tomorrow or Saturday. Florence, South Carolina police say the man who opened fire on officers yesterday, killing one and wounding six, is 74-year-old Fred Hopkins, who's now in custody. This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and/or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment, at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
Seven Russian military intelligence officers have been indicted at the Justice Department this morning, and Assistant Attorney General John Demers was accusing them of engaging in malicious cyber activities against the United States and its allies.
Russian GRU officers being caught red-handed while they attempted to breach the cybersecurity of the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons.
Demers noting that three of the seven were already indicted in July for conspiring to influence the U.S. presidential election in 2016. A U.S. Navy veteran under arrest and suspected of sending envelopes containing ingredients found in the poison ricin to the Pentagon and the White House. 39-year-old William Clyde Allen of Logan, Utah, spent 4 years in the Navy 2 decades ago. He's expected to be formally charged tomorrow. You can find us online anytime or at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
I've been telling you for a year how great MyPillow is. Well, guess what? There's a great deal on MyPillow.com. You can get 4 pillows for about the price of 1 MyPillow. Click on the 4-pack special when you go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA. You'll get 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows, perfect for travel, for half off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA, but do it now.
First Lady Melania Trump continues her four-nation goodwill tour of Africa, now on her second stop in Malawi, where she's visited with children at a primary school, and she's meeting with Malawi's First Lady. Before leaving for Malawi, Mrs. Trump visited a so-called slave castle in Ghana, one of 40 such castles on West Africa's Gold Coast, where enslaved Africans were held before they were loaded onto ships for the voyage to the Western Hemisphere to be slaves. The First Lady describing her visit to the slave castle as very, very emotional. The National Retail Federation is saying it's forecasting strong Christmas sales this season, and John Clemens has details.
The National Retail Federation expects sales this Christmas to increase by as much as 4.8% over 2017 figures. If correct, that would mean sales of $720.89 billion. Matthew Shea, the president and the CEO of the Federation, tells us, thanks to a healthy economy with strong consumer confidence, we believe that this Christmas season will continue to reflect the growth we've seen over the past year. I'm John Clemens.
Employment line's a little bit shorter. The Labor Department says 207,000 Americans filed first-time claims last week, 8,000 fewer than the previous week, and a bit below what analysts expected. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited-time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And glad you could join us for this hour of America's Sports Talk Show. We've been saying that for an awful long time. Started back in 1988 with our very first show, first night, first hour. Willie Mays was our guest here in the studio. And the Sports Byline Network, which was the first sports talk radio network in the country, was only 2 hours a night, Monday through Friday. And, of course, now 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not only on radio, but also Sirius satellite radio. You can catch us on the Internet. You can get us on the American Forces Network. That's 500 stations in 177 countries. Tune in, Stitcher, also CRN Digital Talk Radio, and also check out the in-flight programming of many of the major airlines. We're going to be talking football this hour with Dave Robinson. Robinson, along with another Packer teammate, cornerback Herb Adderley, they share what it was like to be a professional football player playing for head coach Vince Lombardi during the 60s in a book called Lombardi's Left Side. You should check this out. It's a very interesting book. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. He came out of Penn State University. And one of the assistant coaches there was Joe Paterno. He was an assistant coach. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that. And also, he was a linebacker and place kicker. He played 12 years with the Packers and then the Washington Redskins. And when he was with the Washington Redskins, he played for another future Hall of Fame head coach, and that was George Allen. He was taken in the third round of the 63 draft by the AFL. He was also drafted in the NFL, as I said, by the Green Bay Packers, and he had a chance even to play in the Canadian Football League with Montreal. And this book is an interesting read, as I said. It includes personal stories of the legendary Green Bay Packers coach and his management of the entire Packer organization. And during their playing days together, these two authors shut down the left side of the football field, and very little has been written about the defensive side of the ball in Green Bay. Because of the attrition of the Packer defensive players from that era, there is very little chance much will be published in the future either. So again, we're going to be talking with Dave Robinson. And Dave, along with Herb Adderley and Willie Davis and others, they were really the foundation for that great Packer defense that Vince Lombardi liked so much. So glad you could join us. We're ready to crank it up as we continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.
This online bank was foreclosing on us. They even had documents that I signed for a home equity loan, only I didn't. What a nightmare.
She's the victim of a devastating crime called mortgage fraud. Your home's title and mortgage are kept online, where thieves, foreign and domestic, hack them. It's simple. They forge your title and borrow every penny of equity you have in your home, like this police officer.
I know about title fraud. So I registered with Home Title Lock and discovered some thief had already taken over title. Thank God I found out in time.
No bank, identity theft program, or insurance protects you. Home Title Lock will. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title and mortgage. The instant it detects tampering, they're on it, helping to shut it down. Find out if you're already a victim of title fraud. Get your $100 search free with sign up. Visit HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-426-3569. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-426-3569 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-426-3569 to see if you qualify. That's 800-426-3569.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Save on your next oil change with 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter on sale now for the same price of Valvoline Conventional at $26.99. Extend the life of your vehicle and improve engine performance with Valvoline at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time to find adventure on every drive. With Pennzoil Synthetics, you get complete protection for top engine performance. And between October 1st and November 30th, you'll get travel rewards to help you on your journey. With the purchase of any Pennzoil specialty motor oil change, you can earn up to $100 in travel reward credit. Save on hotels, rental cars, and activities. Visit Pennzoil.com/travelon to find participating locations. Pennzoil, make the switch. Travel on. Offer ends 11/30. Terms apply. Full details at Pennzoil.com/travelon.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Dave Robinson joins us on Sports Byline USA. Dave, along with another Packer teammate, cornerback Herb Adderley, share what it was like to be a professional football player playing for head coach Vince Lombardi during the 60s in the book called Lombardi's Left Side. And, of course, Dave inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Linebacker and place kicker, played 12 seasons for the Green Bay Packers and then finished up his career with the Washington Redskins, and he was taken in the first round coming out of Penn State. Dave, how did you end up at Penn State rather than some other school?
Well, this is the thing that's interesting. You try to think back to 1996. I didn't go to school because I wanted to go to the pros. I didn't even think about the pros. I wanted to go to school to get an education. And Penn State, back in 1959, which happened to be the year after Sputnik, was ranked number 3 in the country in the engineering department. They had MIT and California Polytech. So I wanted to be an engineer, and I wanted to go to school to become an engineer, but I couldn't afford it. So I figured I'd play football to get my education, to get a scholarship. And that's the only reason why I played football, and the only reason why I went to Penn State.
Happy Valley, of course, is in the middle of, well, let's just say nowhere, in a sense. So tell me a little bit about the first time you walked onto that campus.
Well, first I'll correct you. Penn State is about 30, 40 miles from the geographical center of the state. So it's really in the middle of nowhere. It'd be in the middle of Pennsylvania, but it's a great state. I love Pennsylvania. But what happened, I went there, and I was a young boy, and my parents took me there, and they dropped me. And I remember the feeling of my parents driving away, my father had passed away, to my mother driving away and leaving me there. And I said, I'm all alone now for the first time, and I couldn't catch a bus home for Dickel like I used to. So I was really weird feeling. And then later that season, during the middle of football season, after football season, Penn State had a cold spell and went down to 20 below. And I said to myself, I have come to the wrong place. but Joe Paterno was the assistant coach. Rip Engel was my head coach. And in hindsight, it's probably the best thing I could have done was go to Penn State, which is one great, great football and educational program.
Tell me a little bit about Joe Paterno at that time.
Well, he was a fiery assistant coach. Maybe I didn't realize it, but Joe was Rip Engel's quarterback at Brown. And then when he graduated, the first year he graduated, Rip used Joe as a graduate assistant. Then the next year, Rip got the job at Penn State, and he asked Joe to come along just to show the new guys his new system, his new offense, since he was ex-quarterback. And Joe agreed to do it for 4, maybe 5 years. That's in 1950. The rest of the story you know. nevertheless.
You know, when you take a look at college football back then, it is so different today than what it was back then. Take me a little bit through about what it was like offensively and defensively in college football in the 50s.
Well, number one, you had to play one platoon football. You couldn't substitute it every time the ball changed hands. In fact, when a quarter started, every quarter, there'd be officials, two officials, one had a red armband, one had a green armband. And you were assigned either green or the red. You went to your official and you reported in. He circled your number. If you left the game and came back in that quarter, he put a line through your number. If you attempted to come back in a third time, then you were ejected, a 5-yard penalty for a delay of game. Now, the other thing was, what they guys come in and out, you only substitute three. They changed like one guy, two guys, three games, or 3 years I was on the system and on the play. So you change hands in the quarter. I said most was the three guys come in, and those three guys got lines to their name. Then you change hands again, you had to send somebody new in. They couldn't go back in the game.
Dave, you mentioned the fact that you did not go to Penn State thinking about playing professional football. No. But was there a particular time as you went through your Penn State career that you said, hey, wait a minute, maybe I can play the pro game?
Well, you should ask that. But my sophomore year, I played against Mike Dicker. And he was I was playing guard, actually, and he was playing defensive end. And I had a decent game with Mike. Mike was a superb defensive end. I don't know if you know that. In fact, I think he made All-American on his defensive abilities more than his offensive abilities. I had a decent game against Mike Dicker. And next year, my junior year, Mike Dicker was Rookie of the Year in the NFL. And when I looked at it, I said to myself, if he's the Rookie of the Year, the top rookie, I might not be the best rookie, but I think I can play in that league. And I was dating my girlfriend then. We were talking about marriage, which I avoided very, very tenderly. But I thought, this is the only way I can get quick money so I can get married. And that was it.
When you came out of Penn State, you had three choices to make. You could either go to the NFL, where the Green Bay Packers picked you in the first round. You could either go to the San Diego Chargers, where you could play in the AFL, or you could have gone north to Canada and played for the Montreal Alouettes. Tell me about how you made the decision.
You know, a lot of these things are covered in our book, The Left Side, I tell you, but I will tell you anyway because you're a nice guy. My wife, or my girlfriend at the time, hated cold weather. And she told me, you can negotiate all you want, string them along, we're going to go to San Diego. And so I started negotiating, everything was going along fine. And then San Diego, who drafted me in the third round, told me they had signed their 1 and 2 draft choices, and they were out of money. But they wanted to get Green Bay's first-round draft pick in the AFL. Green Bay being a defending champion would be a great coup for them. So they said, Ralph Wilson in Buffalo has money, and so if you sign with us, we're going to trade you to Buffalo. Well, I called my girlfriend and said, baby, San Diego's out of question. It's either Green Bay or Buffalo. So she had never been to Green Bay. She had heard about it, but never been there. But she had been to Buffalo. And she said, go where you want to go. And of course, I wanted to go to the best team the best team in the country, so I could see just how good I was. If I was good enough to play, I think you start at the top, and you can filter down until you reach your level of life and where I play at the level I wanted to. But if I start at the bottom, it's very certainly going to go up. So I chose Green Bay, and thank goodness I did.
What did you know about Green Bay before you went there, and what was your first impression of it?
Well, I knew they had a town in Wisconsin. That's about all I knew. I saw them get whipped real bad on Thanksgiving Day by Detroit. I saw them beat the Giants at 37-0. I knew they had a great offensive machine up there and everything. And so I'm pretty happy with it. Then I signed my contract, and I picked up a Sports Illustrated or something and looked through the team, something with the roster in it. And I saw there's an awful, awful lot of Southern boys on the team. A lot of Texans, quarterbacks from Alabama, running backs from Louisville, Kentucky, and LSU. And I was there myself. And I'd never been South Bay at the time. I went there twice to play in the Gator Bowl. And I had death threats and everything else. You know, it was a trying time in the 60s. You got to understand that. And I said, I don't know if I'm going to build this team or not, all these Southern boys. When I got to Green Bay, I found one thing. Football players don't care what color you are. They don't care where you come from. They don't care about your race, your nationality, anything else. They want to know, can you stop the sweep? Can you block a tackle? That's all. And I tell you, some of my best friends on the team were some of the same white boys in the South. I tell you, I was never closer than anybody was to Leroy Caffey. And Bubba Forrester, the other linebacker I replaced from Texas, he was a godsend. Without him, I wouldn't be in the league.
And
just
really,
amazing, you know.
And really, Dave, I understand that Vince Lombardi had a big hand in making the black players feel comfortable in Green Bay, from housing to just their feeling in the town. Because, I mean, Green Bay was a company town. It was a slaughterhouse town.
Right.
It was in the north, and there probably I doubt that there were any African-American at all in Green Bay until you guys got there.
There was one little lady who lived there. That's why she's the only one who lived year-round. All the rest are football players. When Vince got there, there were two African-Americans on the team, and there were about seven, eight or nine clubs or restaurants, I don't know what the number was now, that did not allow them to go into them. And Vince Lombardi called these owners into his office. This is a story I heard. If it's not true, I know it had something like this, but he called them into his office. They all sat down and talked. They all supposedly told Vince that, you know, they didn't care, but the customers didn't want the African-Americans in the place and blah, blah. So Vince got him and said, listen, you guys have worked, earned your place, you paid for your buildings. I will do, you have the right to, you have the right to refuse service anybody you want to. In fact, I'll go to war to defend your right to refuse service anybody you want. If you want any of the African-American Packers in your bar, as of this day, none of them will attend your clubs. But neither way the white Packers either. And they said, well, Coach, you can't do that. He says, if you don't, if we are, he said, he puts off limits, we're dead in this town. He said, all I know is I have a unit, and it's not white or black. It's all Green Bay Packers. Where one goes, they all go. And instantly, the town integrated. I mean, there's no bands, no marches, no big long speeches, no TV coverage, no big hullabaloo. Very quiet and distinctly, this man of such unusual power calls nine guys into his office, and the whole city of Green Bay was integrated. Just like that. And it's a funny little town. When you come to it, I remember driving in the first time, the sign said, you're in Green Bay, Wisconsin, population 60,000. I said, holy mackerel, the stadium holds 55. And where I just left with Penn State, the stadium held more than 65. I held more than 60. I think we held 65. And I thought, this is a real little town. And it was. And the problem there, of course, was the fact that if you walk down the street, if you're over 6 foot, 200 pounds, and African-American, you were a Packer. Everybody knew it. And you're earmarked. So that was the only thing rough about it. But being a Packer, they treated you with a great deal of respect and whatnot.
Dave Robinson is with us. We're talking about his book, Lombardi's Left Side. We'll talk a little bit more about that defense with the championship, Green Bay Packers, and, of course, inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. And there's a part of his career that I did not know about, and we'll talk about that as we continue across the country and around the world with you on Sports Byline.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions Fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. Call now. That's 800-508-5774.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Dave Robinson is with us, linebacker for the championship Green Bay Packers. He played for Vince Lombardi back in the 60s, and there's a wonderful book out that I hope you'll check out and read. It's called Lombardi's Left Side. You know, I knew you were a linebacker, but what I did not remember and did not know was that you were a place kicker. How did that come about, Dave?
Well, let me tell you, I did a little kicking at Penn State, but when I got there in 63, the year that Paul Hornung was suspended, and Jerry Kramer was doing the field goal kicking and kicking off. Well, Jerry was a very accurate field goal kicker, only short, and he couldn't kick off very deep, didn't get the ball inside the 20 often. So I was at practice with them, sitting there laughing at kickoff practice, and I had this laughter. The defense guy says, "You mean to say you guys don't have anybody on this team that can kick the ball inside down to the goal line?" And Willie Wood said, "Well, can you?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I did it all the time at Penn State." And he just kind of looked the spot like, who's he trying to BS? Well, the next day he must have gone and told Coach Lombardi, because Coach Lombardi came up to him and said, "Dave, I just looked at your scout report, and I saw you kicked off at Penn State." He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Why aren't you kicking off here?" I said, "Well, Coach, I played offensive and defensive end at Penn State. I'm now playing linebacker. I got a lot to learn. I'm studying the plays hard at practice late every night. I want to be the best linebacker in the National Football League." And he turned to me, his first round draft pick, and said, "Son, your best chance of making this team is as a kicker." So, needless to say, I became a kicker that night. I stayed for 45 minutes kicking the ball, and I kicked off all the games. And I was penciled in to kick the long field goals. They had to kick a 60-yarder. And every day I go to bed playing, we didn't kick a 60-yard field goal. And we didn't. But that's my kicking career.
Everybody always, of course, talks about the Green Bay offense during those championship seasons when you have Bart Starr as your quarterback, Paul Hornung as your running back. But it was the defense that I remember in watching the videos of those championship seasons. And the one thing that always struck me, Dave, was how you guys did play as a complete unit. I always sensed that you almost had that intuitive knowledge, all of you, all 11 of you, as to what the guy beside you or behind you was going to be. A, am I correct about that? And B, how did that come about?
Well, I think you're right. And one thing about our defense, I remember Vince Lombardi early in my career coming into the defensive meeting, which he didn't do often. And it was a particularly tough game we're playing. And he told us, he said, "I don't know how many points we're going to score Sunday." He said, "But if you guys play the kind of football I know, the absolute worst we can do is have a 0-0 tie." He said, "I want you out there and give me that kind of a game right now." And as it turned out, I can't remember the game, but I do remember though the offense broke loose about 20 points, and I think we won like 20-3 or something. But that was the way it was. He inspired. He didn't come in the defensive room often, but when he did, he inspired us. And the thing is, we did work as a unit. Willie Davis, myself, and Herb Arley, which we call the left side, we played one way, and Bob Jeter, Lana Aldridge, and Leroy Caff, the other side, they played it different because the ends and I have different strengths and weaknesses. When I got traded to Washington, George Allen called me because he was looking at his defense and said, "What defense are you playing here?" And I told him. He said, "What are you playing on the other side?" I said the same thing. He said, "They're playing different." Well, the problem was that Lionel Leroy would play a sweep or wide play different than Willie and I. Willie did not want the tight end to come down on him. My prime objective was to keep the tight end off of Willie Davis. So if he tried to block down, I'd drive him off the block. And Willie, when he saw him coming down, Willie was able to get outside, and we more or less switched positions. I covered the off-tackle play. He covered the wide play. Lionel, on the other hand, liked to feel the pressure at the end, and then he'd roll out. And so Leeward played different. He let the tight end go down on Lionel and then came across him and turned it back into it. So it was just different. And it was just different. And what happened? And then, of course, Ray in the middle, Ray Nishi worked with all of us. He knew the difference in the size. Really had to fill inside or outside the wear. The thing is, we had to work as a unit, and that's what made it so funny. I remember one game, in fact, it was against the Browns in Cleveland, where Willie used to play. And they had a play where they pulled the tackle and pulled the tight end. Of course, I went outside to try to stop the wide play. Willie started to go with the tackle. They pulled the offside guard and blocked Willie out and ran up inside him with Leroy Kelly. And he made quite a bit of yards, maybe 6, 7, 8 yards. And Willie got up and told him at the time, he told Leroy Kelly, don't try that play again. It's no good. Throw it away. And Leroy looked at him like he's crazy. Then he came to me and said, Dave, the next time the tackle pulls, you take him. I'm going to close on the guard. And I said, okay, Willie. Well, they pulled. They'll be out there with 2 men to tackle in the end. They could have waited down and come around him if they wanted to. But they tried the same play. Willie jammed the guard, made the tackle, threw him for a loss, at which time he announced to Leroy Kelly, I told you, don't run that anymore. And we didn't see it anymore after that. But that was the thing we made changes on the field. They ran something that we hadn't prepared for. We knew what to do to change it. We made plans on the field to change it. And Herb and Nishki was the same way. We all worked together as a unit. That was a strong, strong unit. And I think one of the best. That's why they call the book The Barry's Left Side. Because the left side, it was one of the first left sides in pro football to have three African Americans over there, Willie, myself, and Herb. And we had to work together. There was a belief in the league among the hierarchy that African Americans weren't smart enough to be linebackers. They couldn't do certain things. And Vince saw the difference. Vince saw that it was just poppycock. He put us in there, and he used to tell us, there's going to be a lot of people watching you. So what you got to do is you got to play football. And that's all we did. We just tried to play and work together. Really work together. That was the whole thing.
Dave, everybody, of course, knows about the two championships, Super Bowl I and II, but probably the most famous game the Green Bay Packers played was that frozen tundra game against the Dallas Cowboys. Now, right. There is always those people that look at that game and maybe have a thought about it or impression or a memory, but I've found that the people that actually experienced it, like you and, of course, your teammates, probably saw something that was a little bit different in that game. Tell me a little bit about your remembrances as a player of that game.
Well, number one, hindsight's always 20/20. That game started, the field had been covered, we had an electric field, and the field had been sweating during the night, and condensation on the tarp had come down. When the game started, we had a wet field, just a wet, sloppy, messy field, and we played well because we were mutters anyway. But the problem is the wind was blowing at 20, 30 miles an hour. Temperature was down to minus 13 at kickoff. Kept blowing it. The way you'd blow with a bowl of soup to cool it, we were throwing that to the field. And by halftime, there was a crust on the field. Hindsight's 20/20. We should have covered the tarp on the field because a championship game's halftime is longer than usual. If we had covered the field during halftime and taken it off and start the third quarter, the field may not have froze up, or if it had, it would have been really late. We came back in the third quarter, that field had started to freeze, and it got worse and worse and worse. It was like a skating rink by the end of the game. It was hard to break the crust. It was just a small crust, but it was too thick to break. And I remember making plays and falling down and getting cuts on where if somebody had stepped in the mud before and there's a mud footprint, when it froze, it'd be like a little knife cut you when you went down there. I remember that. And I just remember so much. I remember how cold it was. The big thing was, as you talk about in the book, before the game, Vince Lombardi said, I do not want the receivers, the running backs, the defensive backs, or the linebackers to wear gloves. Because he said, I don't want anybody to miss a pass or drop a ball because they have these gloves on. We didn't have the fancy gloves we got today. All we had were those old cloth gloves, leather gloves, just cotton gloves. And everybody was moaning and complaining, trying to get Vince to change his mind. And I turned to Dominic Gentile, our trainer, and said, "Dom, give me a pair of brown gloves. Vince will know the difference." He gave them to me, and I wore them. I wore them during the game. Took them off only when I was certain it was going to be a pass play. But it was funny, and it was quite a game. I tell you, the game was a game that at the time I thought if Pete Rozelle, the commissioner, had been at the game, he would have not allowed us to play that game. The conditions were that bad. But he happened to be in Oakland at the AFL championship game, which he had never been to one before. And the commissioner is the only one who could have called off or delayed that game. And so we played it anyway. I mean, you know, here's the one other thing I remember mostly about that game, people forget, there was no whistles in the game at all. When they first started blowing the whistle before the game, the little ball inside the whistle froze up. And the one official, the whistle, metal whistle actually froze to his lip when he took it off, took the skin off his lip. So he didn't have any whistles. So when the ball would start, they say, "Ready to go, guys." And the guys tell you, "Stop, stop, stop, play's over. It was just all, no whistles in the game at all. Very weird game. A lot of little things like that, you know.
We only have 30 seconds left before we have to break here, Dave. But tell me a little bit about Dallas. Did they ever waver? Did you sense their spirit got broken in about 30 seconds?
I think we had them on the run early, but their defense was playing a great game. And starting the third quarter, they started kicking our butts. You know, the defense scored one touchdown for them. They hit Barty fumbling, and they picked up, ran it for a touchdown. Their defense kept in there. We were 1-2-3 and out, but so was our offense. So we used to joke, not joke, we were serious. The sideline, we told the offensive guys, 3 and outs for us, not you guys. But then we got right down to the end when it had to happen. We were on our own 40-yard lines, 60 yards of pay dirt, down by 3 points. They showed what Green Bay Packer football is all about. They sucked it up, drove down there, scored the touchdown. We win, you know, and it was the greatest feeling in the world. 21-17, I might add, yeah.
David Robinson is with us. Dave Robinson, of course, the linebacker for the world champion Green Bay Packers, playing for Vince Lombardi. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.
Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan? Have no equity? Bad credit? Or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit. And 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. That's 800-847-1183.
Everyone likes to, you know, scrapbook. You scrapbook on the couch, the kitchen counter, and your favorite place to scrapbook? The bedroom. And what could possibly make scrapbooking any better? KY Duration. With KY Duration Spray, men everywhere are scrapbooking longer, and that's great for their partners who really enjoy scrapbooking too. So go ahead, scrapbook tonight with KY Duration Spray for men. Last longer, stay in the moment, use as directed.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Defend your vehicle from harmful elements and restore shine with Armor All Original Protectant. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and pick up a bottle of Armor All Original Protectant for $5.99. Renew, revitalize, and protect your vehicle with Armor All Original Protectant. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limit supply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Dave Robinson has joined us here on Sports Byline USA, a great time in football history back in the 60s when Vince Lombardi was in Green Bay and they had those championship teams. And it's all been chronicled in a wonderful book called Lombardi's Left Side that I hope you'll check out. Tell me a little bit about why and how you were traded to Washington.
Well, after Vince left, Phil Banks was a coach. And then next was Dan Devine. And Dan Devine and I didn't actually get along that well. I tried to obey him and do what he said, but some of the things he said was just, I thought, ludicrous. And on the other hand, was intimidated by Vince Lombardi. He said at one time, the worst thing about his job at Green Bay was every day when he went to work, he had to drive down the street named for another coach, meaning Lombardi Avenue. And he told us going into the 60-72 season, actually in the middle of the season, he said, this team, I have nothing to do with this team. He said, Bart, you and the other assistant coach him. I don't want nothing to do with this team. He says, we were like 4-6, he said. Next year, I have my own team in here. They did. He stopped coaching. We went 6-0 the last six games, 10-6, got the playoffs. And then once we got the playoffs and all the newspapermen, the hype came out, Coach Devine started coaching again. And we went down to Washington, got out coached seriously. We lost the game. As soon as the game was over, he started systematically getting rid of all the Lombardi people. I was one of them. So I could go into all detail how they did it. It wasn't very nice. I found I was traded when somebody called me on the phone from a newspaper and said, what's it feel like to be a Washington Redskins? I mean, it was really bad. And I wasn't really happy with it. But I would have probably retired, but I was so vindictive. You know, football players are funny guys. If you read the book, you'll see we are. When you hit us, it just makes us go. Makes us more determined to win. So I decided I'm going to go to Washington, and I'm going to play just to show that I wasn't washed up, and that he just did it for his own reasons. One of the highlights of my career, was 1974. We came back to Green Bay to play the Green Bay Packers in the stadium, We won. I got the game ball for it. That was the biggest. This is my biggest thrill. Not quite as big as winning the Super Bowl, but it's right up there in the top three.
George Allen, of course, a veteran coach, and it was often said about George Allen that he liked the veteran player instead of the rookie player. He had more confidence in them, and, of course, you fell into that category of veteran player he had confidence in. What were the differences or the similarities between George Allen and Vince Lombardi?
Very simple. Simply put, both of them said you do something, hear something 1,000 times, come game day, it's going to be just second nature. You react without thinking. And he did. The difference was that George Allen would tell you the same thing 1,000 times. And the problem was when he got late in the season, it became old hat. You get that fire in your belly that you had early in the season when he told the state. Vince would tell you the same thing 1,000 times, but he did it 1,000 different ways. When you went to the championship, into the playoffs, you didn't have any idea what he was going to say or what he was going to do. With George Allen, you could almost predict. He had a blackboard in the locker room every game where he put the keys to the game. And on the way to the game, 4 or 5 of us rode together. We used to say what was going to be on the board of the 5 or 6 subjects. And if there were 5, we'd get 3 of them right. And that was the repetition. I knew that it was when they started joking about what George was going to put on the board, I knew that they wasn't going to have the same fire in their belly. When we missed the body, you never knew what his 3-game talk was going to be. Like I said, he talked in the one playoff game, he said, In the middle of the week, he said something about St. Paul was my favorite apostle. And we just took it as such. Then he said something about, in the beginning of the season, everybody was in first place with a record of 0-0-0. After the Super Bowl, there'll be one champion, and that time, 13 losers. So it's a 14-man league. Team league. And then he kept going a little bit every day. And Friday, then he came game time, he brought it all together. He says, in 2 Corinthians, St. Paul, speaking to the Corinthians, said, there are many runners in the race, but only one winner, Run to Win. Now it all tied it all together, and we went, and not along with the other things you hit, said, just got you so fired up, you're ready to hit anybody. You were running to win. You knew that you had, but would not, you could not come in second place. That was it. And but so that was the difference. And but I'll tell you, George Allen was a superb coach. He really was.
When you take
one of those dedicated guys in there.
When you take a look at the two coaches, as far as their pregame speeches, halftime speeches, or even postgame speeches, was George Allen more of the innovator, more of the motivator than, say, Vince Lombardi was?
It's hard to say. They both inspired you up, but they did them different ways. I remember before one game, we were playing, I think it was Denver in the Redskin Park down at the RFK Kennedy, Bobby Kennedy Stadium. And George came in and said, you know what, we had a lousy week of practice. And he says, I wish that I could go out in the field and go one-on-one with the head coach. He said, I'm ready to play. I don't know if you guys are ready to play at night. I said, I'm ready. He said, unfortunately, people will not pay to see the two coaches have a one-on-one at the middle field. I said, otherwise, I go sit to the midfield and go. And he fired us up because he said, George was not a young man. We said, hey, he kicked George's butt. But anyhow, when we won the game, by the way, I might add, against Denver. And then we got back that next Tuesday. We went to practice. George brought in a little a Korean guy who taught karate. George had been taking karate lessons, and he brought in some boards. George broke the boards with his hand, broke it with his feet, and for his finale, he brought his hands down and cracked some cinder blocks. And he said, you guys laughed at me, but I would have killed him. And it was just a great, you can't believe how that team just reacted, just fired up behind George. And that was how it was, you know. George went a long ways to say, whatever I say, I mean, you guys better believe me. And that's how George was. He's a great coach, great innovator.
I was born in Washington, D.C., and certainly I know what the Redskins meant to Washington, D.C. It was a political town, and, you know, the politicians were always out to the ball games and everything. How did you find the atmosphere in Washington for the Redskins as compared to Green Bay for the Packers?
Well, Washington had many, many more fans, Redskins fans, than were Packer fans in Green Bay. The difference was that Green Bay, 90% of the population were Green Bay Packer fans. Washington was a transient city because people coming in from all over the country as congressmen and senators and everything else. When they come in, they bring their own team spirits with them. And so the percentage wasn't as high, but there are more Redskins fans than ever. And people like George and Vince both took advantage of. Vince was like a guy down there. And George, it's famous when George's President Nixon used to give George plays to run and whatnot. And George then went down and used the military computers because he read something that Tom Landry had a computer and computerized all of his offenses and plays and everything else. So George said he went to the biggest computer in the country and see if he couldn't get the military computer somebody down, one of the computers downtown, and he fed all the information to counter Tom Landry's computer. Now, whether it's true or not, I don't know, because George said it, and he may have said this to fire us up because we had a great plan. We really had a great offensive and defensive plan from that day.
What was your largest salary during the course of your career, Dave?
Well, it kind of ties in with me retiring from football. My last year, I had a base salary of $81,000, and Washington was in a big thing going on. Everett Bennett Williams, who was the managing partner, had said he gave George an unlimited budget, and George exceeded it. And he and George were having problems fighting about money, and as George told me, every Ben Williams told him, he said, for $81,000, I could buy three linebackers. What upset me was we said buy, like we were just cattle or slaves or something. I could buy three guys. And so he wanted me to do some stuff and split the time with another guy. And I just told him, the guy's not ready. I said, you can do it if you want to, Chris, but he's not ready. And he said, well, it's out of my hands. So I said, well, I have never split my time with anybody since my rookie year. And if you don't mind, I'd just rather retire. At which time he offered me a chance to go to Philadelphia, so I'll be traded if you want to. And I said, no, I don't want to be traded. I'll just retire and be happy to go. In those days, I felt it was a stigma to having on your name Green Bay Packers, Washington Redskins, Philadelphia Eagles, Dodgers, you know, a long laundry list of teams you play for. Of course, that stigma is no longer around. And maybe I should have gone to Philadelphia. But in hindsight, it's 2020, like I said, you can't change it. My dad had a great story one time. He said, if you come to a rock and you got to go left or right, you go to the left, if you get dog dirt on your shoe, the winners in life, the ones that get up clean off the shoe and go about the ways. The loser, the guy that complained, I should have went the other way. Went the other way, you might have met the dog, you might have bit you. And that's how I look at things. Once you make a decision, you can't change it. Just going about your way.
And what was your salary the first year in Green Bay?
Oh, I killed him the first year. I was the first round pick, so I got $15,000. And there's a story to that, too. Vince offered me $12,000 straight off the bat. He had a system. He never paid a veteran, a rookie rather, more than a veteran. And unbeknown to me, Ray Nischke is making 12 at that time. So they came up, they offered me 12. They kind of stopped the 12. We're going higher. They wanted me to go, they tried encouraging me to take a bigger bonus and less salary and stay at 12. Ray, and they finally set up for 15. Well, Ray came in, negotiated after me, and Ray had one. Vince's thing was he always gave you a 10% raise. So Ray was online to get 13-2. Ray wanted a $2,500 raise, came to 14-5. He said he went in, talked to George for just a little bit of time, and George told him, said, well, Ray, we'll offer you 16 this year. So Ray was shocked at a $4,000 raise, and he came out and talked to Ryan Kramer. Ryan said he came and talked to me, and Ryan said, well, that's because the rookie got 15. And Ray came over to me and said, I like you, kid. And that started a long friendship right there. That's the first day of camp. But that's how it was.
I bring that up because, of course, nowadays the players are making multi-millions of dollars. They don't have to do anything in the off-season. But during the course of your career, you had to work in the off-season, and you were an engineer at Campbell's Soup in Camden, New Jersey, up through 1967, and then you worked at the Schlitz Brewery in Milwaukee. That was a time where you had to have two jobs to make ends meet. What was that like, to transition from being an athlete to all of a sudden being just an everyday person like anybody else?
You know, one of the problems in the National Football League today is the guys who stay around for 4, 5, or 6 years and they get out at age 30, 34, or something like that. They've never worked in high school. They never worked in college because the NCAA rules will not allow you to get a job when you're in college. If you're on a scholarship, you can't go to McDonald's and get a job, you know. You can't. It's illegal. And they haven't worked. They got these hard salaries. They trained during the offseason. When they retire, let's say they retire with 4, 5, maybe $6 million in the bank. But they don't understand what work it is. They don't have the proper work ethic. They don't understand you have to get up every day, go to work from 9 to 5. They used to sleep in when they want to. Say, I don't feel good today, I'm not going to work. And try to plenty, a lot of them, not all, not even the majority of them, but a lot of ball players just can't hold a job. And they say, why should I? I got $6 million in the bank. And then 5, 6, 7 years down the road, the $5 or $6 million disappears. Now they have to get a job in Canton, and it's one of the problems. It's one of the problems that people in the league are trying hard to address. But it's a problem right now. And it's because, so it really was better for you to work like we did than not work. Because you understood when you get retired, you kind of idea what you want to do. You kind of understood what working meant. But the real reason why I worked was I had three kids with a bad habit. They like to eat. And I had to feed them. That's the reason why I worked. But I'm glad I did. It made me a better, more rounded person.
We have a little bit over a minute left, Dave, and quickly I want you just to talk about what it was like from a health standpoint for players during your era if you got an injury. We got just a little bit over a minute.
Yeah. Okay, that'll be real quick. I'll tell you, when we got hurt in those early years, the big thing was that whether you were serious or not, Vince used to tell us, if you get hurt, twist an ankle, you keep the swelling out of the joint, and I'll give you something for pain, and you can play the next week. So he told us early, 14 weeks, 14 hours of your life are mine. Which every week be ready to go. And that was how it was. I mean, I had concussions. Now today they say you should take 2 weeks off for a concussion. I believe they're right. I believe it's correct. I think it should be done. I never took off more than two plays when I was not completely out. And the same difference. I broke compound fracture of my finger against the Browns, attacking the Brown, and he took me to the sideline. I missed about three plays. I compound fractured another finger, attacking OJ. OJ did a better job than my dad. And set the bone on the field and continue to play because there's only 2 minutes to go in the game. It was just a different thing, different rules. There was no such thing as an injury timeout. If you got hurt, it was a charge timeout.
I want to thank you, Dave, for sharing your life, your career, and your story as well. And it's really captured quite nicely in the book Lombardi's Left Side. Congratulations on the book, and thank you for joining us here on Sports Byline.
Thank you very much.
Dave Robinson with us here on Sports Byline USA, along with another player and a Packer teammate, cornerback Herb Adderley. They share what it was like to be a professional football player playing for head coach Vince Lombardi during the 60s and it's chronicled in the book Lombardi's Left Side. He was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame after coming out of Penn State, where Joe Paterno was an assistant coach under Rip Engel at that time. A linebacker, plays kicker. He played 12 seasons for the Green Bay Packers, who drafted him in that first round, and then went on to finish up his career with George Allen and the Washington Redskins, and also was one of the fine players ever to put on a uniform and win two championships in the National Football League. We continue with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a one-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Dave Robinson with us this hour talking about his book that he wrote along with his teammate, cornerback Herb Adderley, who's in the Hall of Fame. The name of this book is called Lombardi's Left Side, and Dave, of course, played 12 years in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers and the Washington Redskins, and his coach with the Redskins was the Hall of Famer George Allen, so you may want to check this book out. Can't get enough of your team? SB Nation's 300-team regional and sports-centric communities are built just for you. So join your fellow fans at SBNation.com for all the best sports news, conversation, and opinion. Check it out, SBNation.com, your team, your community. I'm Ron Barr. Thanks for joining us for this hour of America's Sports Talk Show.
Hi, this is Rick Tittle. Tune in every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Time for the Video Game Review. We'll review games. We'll give away a brand new game. We'll talk cheat codes, new releases, and your calls as well. That's right here every Sunday night on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
For the past few hours, U.S. senators have been poring over the FBI report on its investigation of sexual assault allegations against Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Most Republicans say they found the report very thorough, saying it uncovered nothing of concern. However, Democrats, like Senator Dianne Feinstein, see it differently. She called the investigation
very limited, and it will be interesting after all of the members have an opportunity to read the documents. And we have an opportunity in public to discuss our conclusions.
Republican leaders want to vote on Kavanaugh's confirmation tomorrow or Saturday. Florence, South Carolina police say the man who opened fire on officers yesterday, killing one and wounding six, is 74-year-old Fred Hopkins, who's now in custody. This is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and/or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment, at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
Seven Russian military intelligence officers have been indicted at the Justice Department this morning, and Assistant Attorney General John Demers was accusing them of engaging in malicious cyber activities against the United States and its allies.
Russian GRU officers being caught red-handed while they attempted to breach the cybersecurity of the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons.
Demers noting that three of the seven were already indicted in July for conspiring to influence the U.S. presidential election in 2016. A U.S. Navy veteran under arrest and suspected of sending envelopes containing ingredients found in the poison ricin to the Pentagon and the White House. 39-year-old William Clyde Allen of Logan, Utah, spent 4 years in the Navy 2 decades ago. He's expected to be formally charged tomorrow. You can find us online anytime or at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
I've been telling you for a year how great MyPillow is. Well, guess what? There's a great deal on MyPillow.com. You can get 4 pillows for about the price of 1 MyPillow. Click on the 4-pack special when you go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA. You'll get 2 MyPillow premium pillows and 2 go-anywhere pillows, perfect for travel, for half off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, enter promo code USA, but do it now.
First Lady Melania Trump continues her four-nation goodwill tour of Africa, now on her second stop in Malawi, where she's visited with children at a primary school, and she's meeting with Malawi's First Lady. Before leaving for Malawi, Mrs. Trump visited a so-called slave castle in Ghana, one of 40 such castles on West Africa's Gold Coast, where enslaved Africans were held before they were loaded onto ships for the voyage to the Western Hemisphere to be slaves. The First Lady describing her visit to the slave castle as very, very emotional. The National Retail Federation is saying it's forecasting strong Christmas sales this season, and John Clemens has details.
The National Retail Federation expects sales this Christmas to increase by as much as 4.8% over 2017 figures. If correct, that would mean sales of $720.89 billion. Matthew Shea, the president and the CEO of the Federation, tells us, thanks to a healthy economy with strong consumer confidence, we believe that this Christmas season will continue to reflect the growth we've seen over the past year. I'm John Clemens.
Employment line's a little bit shorter. The Labor Department says 207,000 Americans filed first-time claims last week, 8,000 fewer than the previous week, and a bit below what analysts expected. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. 800-405-2561. That's 800-405-2561.
Live, worldwide, Sports Byline USA. And here's host, Ron Barr.
And wherever you might be across this great country of ours and around the world, I'm Ron Barr. Good to have you with us for this edition of Sports Byline. We have a lot to talk about on this edition, but let me give you the fan poll numbers. New fan poll question, which pro sports season do you look forward to the most? And as you would expect, I guess because it is the NFL season, 49% of you saying the National Football League, and then 22% of you say Major League Baseball, followed by the NBA at 18%, and then the National Hockey League bringing up the rear at 11%. I think it surprises me that the NBA is really lower than Major League Baseball, but that could have something to do with the playoffs that are underway as well. Let me tell you what's coming up next week, because we have some interesting guests. Julie Romanowski is going to be with us. That'll be on Monday. And I say that because if you remember the name Romanowski, her husband was Bill Romanowski, won a couple of Super Bowl championships. He was playing with the 49ers at one time, also with Denver. And it's going to be a woman's perspective of what it's like to be married to an NFL player, and also the things that they have to go through and everything. John Sally, I love John Sally, will be here to talk a little basketball. Barry Sanders for you on Wednesday. Michael Phelps will be here, the Olympic swimmer, and that'll be on Thursday. And then a guy that I got to know when I was with CBS Sports doing NFL football, Bob Stenner, who was their top producer. And he will give you a look-see behind the scenes. In other words, in the truck when they're doing games, not only football, but all the other great events that he did. And I think that you'll find it fascinating. Roy Eisenhart standing by to kick things off, as he always does at this time. He's been a lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's, and now he teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. And he joins us each week for a segment we call Inside Angle. And, of course, the big story this week is about the college basketball scandal. And it got underway on Monday, and so we'll talk to him, see what his read is on it. And, of course, being a lawyer, he should have an interesting perspective. And also Robert Parrish will be with us toward the end of this hour. Hall of Fame center who was known for his strong defense, his high arching jump shot, and his clutch rebounding late in the games as well. And so we'll talk about his fine, fine career being with the Celtics. And then squeezed in between will be our man Bruce Marshall, senior writer for the Gold Sheet. He'll drop by and do what he does every week, which is break down the key NFL games, give you his thoughts and his predictions as well. So when we come back, Roy Eisenhart joins us and you on Sports Byline.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-426-3569. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-426-3569 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-426-3569 to see if you qualify. That's 800-426-3569.
This online bank was foreclosing on us. They even had documents that I signed for a home equity loan, only I didn't. What a nightmare.
She's the victim of a devastating crime called mortgage fraud. Your home's title and mortgage are kept online, where thieves, foreign and domestic, hack them. It's simple. They forge your title and borrow every penny of equity you have in your home, like this police officer.
I know about title fraud, so I registered with Home Title Lock and discovered some thief had already taken over title. Thank God I found out in time.
No bank, identity theft program, or insurance protects you. Home Title Lock will. For pennies a day, Home Title Lock puts a barrier around your home's title and mortgage. The instant it detects tampering, they're on it, helping to shut it down. Find out if you're already a victim of title fraud. Get your $100 search free with sign up. Visit HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
It's time to find adventure on every drive. With Pennzoil Synthetics, you get complete protection for top engine performance. And between October 1st and November 30th, you'll get travel rewards to help you on your journey. With the purchase of any Pennzoil specialty motor oil change, you can earn up to $100 in travel reward credit. Save on hotels, rental cars, and activities. Visit Pennzoil.com/travelon to find participating locations. Pennzoil, make the switch. Travel on. Offer ends 11/30. Terms apply. Full details at Pennzoil.com/travelon.
Save on your next oil change with 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter on sale now for the same price of Valvoline Conventional at $26.99. Extend the life of your vehicle and improve engine performance with Valvoline at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Time to check in with Roy Eisenhardt as we do each week. We call this insightful segment Inside Angle. Roy, of course, a lawyer, former president of the Oakland A's, and now teaches law and sports at UC Berkeley. We take a look at some of the interesting stories in sports, try to give you kind of a different angle on them. The big story this week, no doubt about it, is the lawsuit with basketball and that scandal. And let me just tell people some of this. Trial begins over the hoops corruption, and Adidas executive and two other men hatched a scheme to exploit blue-chip college basketball recruits for profit by showering their families with secret cash payments from the athletic gear giant, a prosecutor said at a criminal trial expected to detail the dark side of big money in college sports. Roy, you've watched this thing develop for some period of time. We're just at the beginning stages on this. What sense do you have of what's happening and where this might go?
My sense is exactly the term you use, the dark side. I think what it's going to do is expose one of the, what I would describe as collateral effects of the way college basketball is structured today, particularly with regard to how the colleges recruit high school players, particularly those who are only going to be there for a year because of the NBA one-and-done rule. So how do you get the great players to come to your school? Well, the colleges can't do it directly, but the shoe companies have figured out how to do it by offering, theoretically, I mean, this is what's alleged in the lawsuit, these under-the-table payments to the families of the kids. But to me, this is symptomatic, as we've talked about before, of the larger problem, and that is that these kids are essentially exploited in college to play there for a year. They get nothing for doing it. They can't go and have a pro career because the collective bargaining agreement doesn't allow it. And when you set up situations like that, there's always going to be somebody who comes in and figures out an angle where they can do some under-the-table stuff. It's just, it's human nature. And as bad as this sounds, I would say it is totally predictable that this kind of arrangement is going to arise.
Yeah, and it's widespread, too. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I've had coaches tell me that it's widespread. One of those that is alleged to have done some of these payments is Christian Dawkins. And among the revelations in court this week, documents suggesting that Dawkins paid $5,000 to Colin Sexton and another calling for $1,500 a month to Sexton, $21,000 for travel for his family, and a 4-year job for his brother, $35,000 per year with a $5,000 annual raise. This is ugly.
Yeah, but you got to, who is at fault here? You know, I'm not forgiving anybody, but I think that we have to do is look at the root cause of this problem. And it's the combination of them. Emphasis now in the colleges on making money off college basketball. And when you combine that with the one-and-done rule, which says that kids go to college for a year and then they leave, I'm talking about the good ones, the first-round draft picks, you inevitably are going to create a situation where corruption gets driven. And so I go back to something we've pounded on a lot, and that is until they change the draft rules for the NBA, if it's not this kind of scandal, it's going to be an academic scandal, or it's going to be coaching, recruiting violation scandal. It's going to be something until we figure out a different system for segueing kids out of high school into college and into the pros.
It's very interesting to see what the defense strategy might be, because I read this earlier this week and heard about this as well, that the defense lawyer is saying, wait a minute, it's a breaking of maybe NCAA rules, but it's really not anything criminal. That's a very interesting question.
It is. The charges are federal wire fraud, because they were, you know, using a banking system to transfer these monies technically across interstate lines, which is what makes it a federal crime. So that's what they're alleging, that these were fraudulent payments that were made, and using a federal banking system, it makes it a federal crime. I want to go to one statistic, though, that I read that kind of reinforces why I think the root cause here is the emphasis on money in the colleges. I saw it in 2015, and I'm switching to football here, college football. College football coaches as a group in the United States were paid about $550 million, starting with Nick Saban at Alabama, whose reported salaries around 11 plus. The value of the scholarships, remember, that's not cash. That just means the schools let the kids go there free. The value of the scholarships total across the country in the five big conferences now I'm talking about, I'm not talking about the Ivy League and stuff like that, was $170 million. So you have the coaching staff being paid four times or so in salaries, what the schools are giving away in scholarships, and then these kids are required, in the case of football, to be there for 3 years and can make no money. If they make any money at all, they'd lose their eligibility. And when you design a system like that, how long do you think it is going to be before some guy figures a way to work around it?
I'm sure we'll be talking about this for a long time. By the way, there was a trade agreement announced this week by the White House. The president very happy about the trade with Mexico and Canada, but he also threw a bone to the National Football League. Tell me about that.
Apparently, and I don't understand why this was the case, but there was, of course, the NFL televises in Canada. That's a big market for them. But there was a rule the broadcast, they couldn't be sold to Canadian advertisers as such. And so this was costing the NFL a lot of money, because, of course, the Canadian advertisers want to advertise in Canada. So through some subparagraph of the new trade agreement, they dropped that rule so that the NFL is allowed to plug in Canadian broadcast advertising into the Canadian broadcast, and which brings in net a lot more revenue for the NFL. And so it's just one of these things that shows you why you see leagues and owners and so forth cozying up to politicians in different ways, because there's a lot of little subtle regulatory provisions that can positively affect the revenue stream of these sports leagues.
Tell me what you think about this. Major League Baseball's average attendance dropped 4% to 28,830 per game. It is the lowest since 2003, after 14 consecutive seasons topping 30,000. The Reds, Orioles, White Sox, Twins, Marlins, and Pirates drew their smallest attendance since opening brand new ballparks. Is that telling us anything?
Yeah. I don't think there's one thing I would point to. I think it's multifactorial. I think some of it's the younger generation coming along doesn't have quite the focus on slow-moving, slow-paced sports like the older generations were because of the addiction to smartphones and so forth. But I also think it's the ticket price. I mean, you think about it, if you're a family, you want to go to a baseball game and take your wife and two kids. I mean, that's probably a $600, $700 investment by the time you pay for the beers and so forth. So I also think that there's so much TV exposure now that it's a lot simpler not to go to games. It's easier to sit home and switch channels. And also baseball, to a great extent, competes with other sports. I mean, if we think about it right now, all four sports are in play. The NFL is, of course, active. Baseball is active in its playoffs, which is its biggest season part. But you also have the NHL and the NBA starting their exhibition season. So there's so much competition so many times during the year against baseball that they're really up against the surging popularity of the other sports. And there's only so much fan attention to sports. So you're going to inevitably find a decline in physical attendance. And I'm not even counting college football, which is also going on now.
We've got about 30 seconds left. Also, the big league batting average dropped 7 points to .248,
yeah,
the lowest level since 1972, and strikeouts topped hits for the first time.
Yeah, that's the key number, I think. There's so much emphasis now on the long ball and the home run, and, you know, because salaries correlate to home run hitting and stuff like that, that we see big swings on the third strike. And this whole concept of shortening up and going to right on when you've got two strikes seems to be out of fashion. Also, I think the shift has something to do with it. When you watch the games now with the overlay and showing the percentage where they hit here and where they hit there, batters are going to start to have to adapt to that shift and start changing the way they approach,
yeah,
it if they want to get batting averages up.
Roy, take care. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure.
Again, Roy Eisenhart, we call it Inside Angle. He's with us each week here on Sports Byline. We continue with more of you on America's Sports Talk Show.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family, or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
If you are age 85 or younger,
call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. 800-508-5774. Call now. That's 800-508-5774.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Another big weekend in the National Football League, and as always, he drops by on Fridays. Bruce Marshall, fine senior writer for the Gold Sheet, to break it down for you. And let's talk first of all about the Ravens at the Browns. That was a tough game last week for the Browns to lose, and I still question the NFL saying they made the right call when they reviewed the measurement, that if they had called it as they saw it initially, then it would have been a Browns victory over the Raiders. So what happens this weekend?
Yeah, that puzzled me too. That sure looked like a first down to me, and I don't know how they overturned that, but it is what it is. And the Browns had chances to close that game down before. But I think you can see they're in a position now where they can have a chance to win these games, and that's what Baker Mayfield has done for them at quarterback. However, they are facing what might be the best team in the AFC right now, and that's Baltimore. We saw what the Ravens did the other night against the Steelers on Sunday, just took apart Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. They've played one bad quarter this season, the first quarter on that Thursday a few weeks ago against Cincinnati. Joe Flacco is loving his new receivers. That includes Michael Crabtree and includes John Brown from Arizona. He's averaging over 22 yards per catch. Alex Collins is running up the storm. And I think they'll outscore the Browns here, although Baker Mayfield in Cleveland will be making noise before this season is done. 34-23 Baltimore. That's a Gold Sheet key release on Sunday.
And the Magic Man brought back the Chiefs in Denver when they knocked off the Broncos late in that ball game. They're going to go up against the Jags, but this is a Jags team that will not have Fournette running the football. So how does it shake out?
Yeah, he re-aggravated the hamstring last week, and it's hard to see Jacksonville trading points for Kansas City. Now, they will try to do what Denver did last week, and maybe Denver rolled out the roadmap to deal with Kansas City on that Monday night game. Get real physical on defense, run the football. It would sure help if Fournette is in there instead of the backups for the Jags, but they'll try that recipe and see if they can bang away at that Chiefs defense, which is a bit suspect. At this stage of the season, before we get into the winter months here, this Kansas City offense is built for the new age of the NFL, and you mentioned the Magic Man Mahomes, what he can do, all those weapons around him. I just don't think the Jags are going to be able to keep pace. We'll see if Kansas City can sustain this into the second half of the season, but in early October, they still look good. 31-22 Chiefs on Sunday.
Giants are still looking for their personality and also kind of getting into a rhythm. They haven't found it yet, as they've down 1-3 on the season. And they'll be tested again this week by the Panthers in Carolina.
Yeah, boy, you know, Ron, here we were thinking things would be different for the Giants. But after four games, like you said, 1-3, they're looking a lot like they did last year. The seemingly annual upgrade of the offensive line once again looks like it's failing. You know, Eli Manning just can't get out of the way now. And he's got some pretty good weapons to help him out in OBJ and Saquon Barkley, the rookie from Penn State. But, you know, if he just doesn't have time to throw back there, this offense is going to bog down. So until further notice, the Giants just not putting things together. I still like what Carolina is doing with its new offense coordinated by North Turner. They're really finding some space for Christian McCaffrey and some of the weapons at Cam Newton's disposal. I think that Carolina is probably the way to go here. 26-13, Panthers. That's how the Gold Sheet sees this one on Sunday.
A short work week for the Broncos, who played on Monday night and lost, of course, to Kansas City. And they'll head out on the road to take on the Jets at the Meadowlands. But I think the question here is, after winning their first game of the season over Detroit, they've dropped three in a row. So what happens to the Jets this weekend?
Yeah, boy, Sam Darnold really looking like a rookie that he is at quarterback the last few weeks. He's really struggling right now, and that Denver defense might be able to do some business here with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb attacking from the edge. Vance Joseph, the head coach, is under some heat now in Denver. He's got to win a game on the road. They've lost 10 of their last 11 away from home. Interesting anniversary of this one. It was 50 years ago, Ron. Denver went into Old Shea Stadium and won with Steve Kempsey at quarterback. That is the biggest underdog win, a 22-point underdog in Gold Sheet publishing history over the last 62 years in the NFL. So maybe Denver can be inspired from that win from 50 years ago. 23-17 Broncos, we think they do that. Wherever they can get the inspiration, they could use it, and we think they win on Sunday.
Another one of those head puzzlers, and it might be because of the injury factor with Atlanta. They're underdogs to the Steelers, and the Steelers are 1-2-1. And really have not looked that consistent or that good this season.
No, they haven't. And you wonder, you know, something looks wrong there. Now, Le'Veon Bell, there are reports he is going to return, but not for a few weeks, maybe not till the bye week, week seven. So they're going to have to go without him again. And boy, he, I'll tell you, negotiations-wise, that would be his, it was advantageous to his case what Pittsburgh looked like on Sunday against the Ravens in that loss. So something's got to give here. I don't know. Atlanta, though, Ron, injuries on defense, injuries in the secondary. The psychology of this team right now, they are finding games to lose every week. The owner, Arthur Blank, sounds kind of upset. I wonder if Dan Quinn is coaching himself into some trouble if this team can't win some of these close games. Pittsburgh off a loss, though. They've still got Big Ben. They've still got Antonio Brown. And with the Falcons leaky in the secondary, I think this could be a bad matchup for Atlanta. 34-27 Pittsburgh. We'll give them one more chance to bounce back this week.
And the Chargers are going to take on another San Francisco Bay Area team. This time it's the Oakland Raiders, and they are underdogs, even though they got their first win last week going overtime in beating the Browns. So what happens this time?
You know, yeah, Ron, I mean, this has been kind of an underdog series in recent years. The Raiders didn't get it done at the end of last season when things had really unraveled. Before Jack Del Rio was dismissed. But, you know, the Gruden Raiders, maybe they got a break last week from the refs, but they did take advantage of that, and they did fight their way back, and Derek Carr putting up some pretty big numbers. I don't know that we've seen the buy signal yet from the Chargers last week. They were very fortunate to escape that win against the 49ers, and that's sort of been the pattern with the Bolts in recent years. Once they start to click, then you start to ride them. But I'm a little bit reluctant right now because – like we said, the history of this series and the fact that Chargers just haven't looked that dominant yet. We're going to call a slight upset here, 26-23 Oakland. Now they got a win under their belt. Maybe they can do two in a row.
Two teams that are really not looking settled or at least in the swing of things are going to face each other. The defending Super Bowl champion Eagles are going to be at home against the Vikings. How do you see it?
Yeah, you're right. And the Vikings could really use this, and so could the Eagles. Neither team over 500 at this point. Philadelphia's got a few concerns here. One, secondary, after Rodney McLeod, top safety, went down, they've been giving up far too many big plays in recent weeks. Two, protecting Carson Wentz. He got sacked four times, hit 11 times last week against the Titans. They haven't flashed their Super Bowl form of a year ago quite yet. Now, Minnesota's only got one win thus far itself, but you did see Kirk Cousins start to get into the groove a little bit. They were chasing the Rams for that game last week, and the Rams are tough, 422 yards passing. I think that should be enough to give Minnesota a chance to avenge that 38-7 loss in the NFC title game last January when Cousins was not on the Vikings. 30-23 Minnesota. We're going to call the slight upset for the Vikes on Sunday.
And speaking of the Rams, they'll be tested up in Seattle against the Seahawks.
Yeah, but boy, you know, I think right now, Ron, I mean, the Rams, it looks like they could have the NFC West sewn up by Halloween almost. I mean, they are just a smooth-running machine. They have a few extra days of prep for this game. Seattle has been like a bumper cars here. They have got a couple of wins somehow the last two games over the Cowboys and last Sunday against the Cardinals, but they're taking a big step up in class here. Earl Thomas's injury in the secondary, devastating to a defense that has already been, you know, the Legion of Boom is now gone from a few years ago now that Thomas is out, and the offense just not stretching the field for Russell Wilson. The torch was passed late December last year when the Rams went up there 42-7. The NFC West turned into the Rams division, and they'll do it again here. 38-20 Rams shouldn't have too much trouble on Sunday.
And the battle for Texas will be Sunday night. You've got the Dallas Cowboys and, of course, the Houston Texans facing off.
Yeah, this matchup looks a little better than it did a week ago at this time because both teams are off a win. It was Houston's first of the season. They are helped out a little bit by some faulty decision-making by the Colts late, but Deshaun Watson putting up better numbers. Most importantly, they're getting J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney revved up on that pass rush now. Better numbers for them recent weeks, and I think they can carry it over against the Cowboys on Sunday night. Yes, Dallas won, but all they're doing is going back and forth, Ron. And they're winning at home, and they're losing on the road. They're back on the road this week. Still don't like Dak Prescott's weapons. And the Texans can get them in this one. 27-20, we're taking Houston Sunday night.
And on Monday night, it's going to be the Redskins at the Saints. And this is an interesting game in that I think the Saints are playing pretty well. But this will be a good test for them.
It will be, and it could be a pretty big night down there. Drew Brees ready to break some records on Monday night, and it just works out. It's going to be a Monday night game at the Superdome, so it should be a pretty festive atmosphere. But the Saints, though they looked good last week against the Giants at home the first 2 weeks of the season, they had real struggles. And, you know, there's some thought that they'll get Mark Ingram back this week, which is a plus, but still not sure about that defense. And Jay Gruden seems to be figuring out some good things to do with Alex Smith at quarterback, and he should have Adrian Peterson available. The ankle injury, he wouldn't have played last week, but the Redskins had a bye. So good for Washington. The bye came then. They'll probably get Peterson on Monday night. They'll keep it close. Not sure they can win. It'll be a wild one, too. 33-30, our score forecast for the Saints. But the Skins make it interesting.
What do you have this week for all our Sports Byline USA listeners?
Thank you, Ron. Check us out online at goldsheet.com. Hey, for Byline listeners, basketball season coming up quick. Got a special offer on Gold Sheet Hoops, first issue coming up less than 2 weeks. Yes, it's that time of season again. And basketball and all of our football stuff. Give us a call, 800-798-GOLD. Goldsheet.com. It picks up there as well as VegasInsiderDonBest.com.
Okay, Bruce, enjoy the weekend games, and we'll talk to you next week here on Sports Byline. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Ron.
Bruce Marshall, fine senior writer for the Gold Sheet. He has been with me for 27 years, dropping by on Thursday to take a look at the key college games, breaking it down for you. He does the same thing with the games in the National Football League. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.
Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan? Have no equity? Bad credit? Or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit. And 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. That's 800-847-1183.
Everyone likes to, you know, scrapbook. You scrapbook on the couch, the kitchen counter, and your favorite place to scrapbook? The bedroom. And what could possibly make scrapbooking any better? KY Duration. With KY Duration Spray, men everywhere are scrapbooking longer, and that's great for their partners who really enjoy scrapbooking too. So go ahead, scrapbook tonight with KY Duration Spray for men. Last longer, stay in the moment, use as directed.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Defend your vehicle from harmful elements and restore shine with Armor All Original Protectant. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and pick up a bottle of Armor All Original Protectant for $5.99. Renew, revitalize, and protect your vehicle with Armor All Original Protectant. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In times of economic uncertainty and chaos, your money means nothing. You may not even be able to get it from your bank or ATM. And the money you do have in the stock market will go down and down. What you can bank on is gold and silver. Gold and silver have been a reliable and trusted form of currency for thousands of years. Gold and silver have never been worth zero, and typically gold holds its value during economic turmoil. Call the Gold Hotline now and learn how to protect your money and your assets with gold and silver. And learn how to set up a new IRA or roll over your current one into a gold-backed IRA. Protect your money from the next market crash with gold and silver. Call now for your free gold guide.
800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Robert Parrish joins us on Sports Byline. The former Celtic great played 21 seasons in the NBA and, of course, a member of the Basketball Hall of Fame. Robert, as you know, Red Auerbach passing away recently, and I'm just wondering, when you think back about what he meant to the Celtic organization, what was your first impression of him?
Well, I was very impressed with him. He's everything that they say about him in terms of a great coach. He's a great administrator. Psychologist. One of the most profound things he ever said to me, yet it was very simplistic in the answer. I asked him what he contributed his success to in all the capacities that he held in the Celtic organization. He told me he learned early on that you don't handle people, you work with people. And I think that's one of the reasons why Red was so successful at all of his endeavors in terms of coaching and, like I said, being an administrator and just basketball in general. I think Red Auerbach is a blueprint to how things should be done in the NBA.
Robert, you started out your career with the Golden State Warriors for the first 4 years, and then you came over for 14 years with the Boston Celtics. Did Red ever tell you why he wanted you on the Celtics?
Well, he told me that I had what it took to be good and be successful. He thought that I understood about team, and that's what he was all about, and the Celtics all about team concept. And he admired those qualities, and then he said he had been watching me from afar, and he liked the way I played the game, the way I approached the game, and he thought I'd be a good fit with the Celtics.
When you think back about what you knew about the Celtic organization when you were playing with the Warriors and compare it to what you found out it to be, what were the differences and what were the similarities?
Well, there's no differences. I think it was everything that I thought it would be from afar in terms of Red was only concerned about one thing, about winning, and also Red went out and got the right pieces to make sure that we were successful as a team. That's one thing I always admired about Red when he was in the administrator capacity. He gave you everything you need to be successful.
What was the biggest misconception about him?
I can't think of one. Personally.
He was what he appeared to be then.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, Red was, what I respect most about Red was a straight shooter. There's no pretense. When Red told you something, it was a fact. He didn't lie to you. He was honest. He was reliable, and he was loyal. You can't ask for much more than that.
How did he motivate the players? Was it out of fear?
No, not at all. I told you before, it was all about respect.
Okay.
Everybody respected Red, and because Red gave respect. Red respected you as a man. And, of course, if somebody respects you as a man, you got to respect them in return as a man. And I think that's why so many people hold Red in such high regard, is because of the way he treated people. Now, I'm not saying that he was perfect. We all got flaws. I can only go by my experience, what I experienced with Red. I have nothing but positive things to say about Red.
What's your favorite story about him, Robert?
My favorite story about Red, when I got traded in 1980 to come to the Celtics, he flew me in for a meeting to get acquainted with him, himself, and the organization. So he's taking me out for Chinese food. and we driving our store drive, and Red, I think speed limit is like 40, and Red driving 55 and a 40. he looking at me for like 30, 40 seconds at a time, not looking at the highway. And I'm about to pull the armrest off the seat, you know, trying to step on the brake, so to speak, you know, the brake for him. And the most terrifying driving experience of my life. And the whole time he tell me about the city of Boston, what to expect, and the type of team I was going to be playing with, and how he felt like this is an environment that I could flourish in. And the whole time, though, he's flying down Store Drive on the way to this Chinese place, and did not have his eyes on the road. And to me, that was terrifying and also worrisome. But I told myself afterwards, why should I have been concerned when Red was concerned? It didn't bother him at all.
Robert, talk to me about the evolution of the big man in the game when you came into it and where you think the big man's role is today in basketball.
When I came into the league, it was all about the big fella. Everything revolved around the center or went through the center. Now, things have changed now because there's not any true centers except for two or three. And also the rules of the game has changed so much, too, with all the zones and coverage that they play now. So it really makes it difficult for a low-post guy to be effective night in and night out. So you see more of a perimeter game by all the bigs now. So that's the difference that I see when I came into the league as opposed to the inside play today.
You were 7 foot tall, and so everybody has expectations of 7-footers, but you wanted to be a well-rounded player. Did it bother you that big men had a kind of a mentality of being able to do only certain things when they were 7 foot tall?
It didn't bother me because I always felt like, you know, if you're on the floor, you should be able to do a little of everything. You know, my junior high school coach told me that no matter what position that you play, you should be able to take more than one dribble. Without dribbling it off your foot, I always pride myself on that. You should be able to pass the basketball. You should be able to shoot the basketball. You should be able to catch the basketball. In other words, just be fundamentally way around it. And that's something that I thought would turn out to be a very important lesson that I learned early on. So I always pride myself on being able to do all those things effectively.
I remember I was doing a Sonics game one time. Bill Russell was the coach with the Seattle Supersonics, and maybe it was either sometime after that, but you were playing, and you stepped out, and you took a jumper, and I thought to myself, this has a high arc to it. Where did that shot develop from, Robert?
It came from my junior high school coach. When I first started playing basketball, which was junior high school, I shot the ball on the line very flat. Didn't have any type of arc on it at all. And he told me that one day when I meet someone my size, I was going to have difficulty scoring. So he took a handle out of a push broom. My junior high school coach is only like 5'3". So he took that broom, the handle out of the push broom, and had me shooting over that broom handle. And that's how I shot the ball with so much arc on it, because of that, getting it over that broom handle.
When the Celtics came together with you, Kevin McHale, and Larry Bird, that threesome there, everybody seemed to fit comfortably together. How long did it take for the three of you and then the other role players to come together into a single unit that led to the championships that you won?
I would say right after exhibition season. No, we could, well, at least I could. I see in exhibition season that it could be something special because of the way that the chemistry was and the way we clicked together and the way we seemed to have the sixth sense of where everybody's going to be. And everybody was on the same page. We had that common goal, where we wanted to go. And also we had I thought, one of the best coaches in Bill Fitch. You know, one thing I always admired about Bill that I thought we was lacking when everybody came together in training camp was mental toughness. We all had the physical toughness because you understand how training camp is. But he instilled in us a mental toughness that we needed to be successful night in and night out and also pursue the ultimate prize, and that's the NBA championship.
How do you define mental toughness?
Mental toughness is getting it done when you don't want to be on the court. Getting it done when you're tired and you don't feel like that you can take that extra step to get back on defense or make the effort to get a loose ball or get a rebound or to bow down and play that hard-nosed, tough defense in the last 2 or 3 minutes of the ball game when you're tired or when you're hurt. or when you banged up, or when you're having a tough night and you're not playing well. That's when the mental toughness come in, and that's when Bill Fitch, that's what he instilled in us. He had us believing that no matter what the circumstances was, we could get it done.
The thing that I've always believed, and maybe you can confirm this for me, Robert, is that Larry Bird and Michael Jordan were very similar in their same drive in basketball. And what I mean by that is that they really flourished and played their best basketball when they either had controversy around them or they were challenged by somebody or they created a false challenge in order to motivate themselves. Am I correct in that observation?
Well, I think so. I think you take it a step further. I think there's strong dislike of losing. I think they really brought out their competitive juices to do what's necessary to ensure win. That they strongly dislike losing. You know, it was almost to the point where, you know, it just messed up their night. You know, when we did lose. And I've had the pleasure of playing with both athletes, so I understand that mentality of how seriously they took losing. You know, most people when they lose, you know, no big deal. But those two guys, when they lost, it was a big deal. And I think that's why they did everything they could to ensure that you didn't have many nights when we didn't get it done.
I don't think that there was a better rivalry in professional sports, maybe even in professional basketball, between the Lakers and the Boston Celtics. That period of time when you guys won championships and you beat them and you had to play them, what was the essence of that rivalry? What made that rivalry, Robert, so good?
Well, I think you got to go back a few years before Larry and Magic came into the league. I think it started with Russell and Chamberlain.
Mm-hmm.
Was at Philadelphia. And then when Chamberlain got traded out to the Lakers, that rivalry continued between Russell and Chamberlain, and also that Laker-Celtic rivalry continued. And then when Magic and Larry hooked up in the NCAAs, and then that rivalry continued on into the NBA with their respective teams. So I think that's how that rivalry grew in intensity. Because of the players involved and also the teams involved also.
Also, did the fact that you all were from Boston, kind of a blue-collar atmosphere or attitude about that town and the Showtime atmosphere of Los Angeles and Hollywood factor into it at all?
Oh, yeah, something to do with it. And on top of that, with all the success that the Celtics had, not only the Lakers, but everybody wanted a piece of the Celtics. Everybody wanted to beat the Celtics because when you're on top of the hill, everybody wants some. Everybody want to be the one that knocks you off that pedestal. So I think it just added to the intensity of the rivalry because of, well, not only the success that the Celtics had, but the Lakers in their own right were a very successful franchise. So that just added to all the intensity. Then you throw in the players in the mix, that rivalry between Magic and Larry. And the other players, I think that just made it a very more appealing rivalry. And also the games we played, because we was always playing for something. Every time we met, we were playing for the best record. We were playing for bragging rights. We were playing for the championship. We were playing for all that. So that just made it even a more interesting rivalry, I thought.
In the 21 years you played professional basketball, Robert, now as you reflect back on it, what means the most to Robert Parrish?
I would have to say the Hall of Fame honor, because that's something I never expected. I always when I was playing basketball, I wanted to be an all-star, and I wanted to be on the championship ball club. So after I accomplished those accomplishments, I thought all my basketball accolades was over with. And so to get that award, you know, that's as high an honor as you can get. So that's the ultimate compliment to anybody's basketball career. So for me, that was the defining moment for me. That put it all in a neat little package that I did something right to get such a high honor.
I got to tell you, the trio of you, Kevin McHale, and Larry Bird, many regarded as the best front court in NBA history, and I have to agree with that. But one of the things in watching you, Robert, both as a basketball player and as a person, your quiet demeanor, the manner in which you went about the way you played this game, really is the thing that I think was probably unsung and never got the type of credit it deserved. Thank you for joining us on Sports Byline, and thank you for talking basketball about Red Auerbach and about your great career. Take care, Robert.
Thank you.
Robert Parrish joining us again. 21 seasons of playing professional basketball and in the NBA Hall of Fame. And, of course, he was nicknamed the Chief after the mute Native American in that film One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And who was it that gave him that nickname? Cedric Maxwell. We continue on Sports Byline.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free, confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1 week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
This is America's Sports Talk Show. Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
That's going to wrap up this edition of Sports Byline, where we talk with a couple of Hall of Famers. Robert Parrish, Hall of Fame center, who is known for his strong defense, his high arching jump shot, and also his clutch rebounding late in games. He played 21 seasons, 14 for the Boston Celtics, and he was named one of the 50 greatest players in NBA history. And Dave Robinson with us as well, former linebacker, place kicker, who played 12 seasons for the Packers and Washington Redskins. He was inducted into not only the College Football Hall of Fame, but also the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Bruce Marshall dropped by, as he always does, senior writer for the Gold Sheet, to break down the key games in the National Football League and give you his thoughts, analysis, and predictions. And Roy Eisenhart here, as he is each week. We call the segment Inside Angle. I'm Ron Barr. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you Monday on Sports Byline.
Freaks of speed and motorheads. It's Kenny Sargent with Speed Freaks. Be sure to catch Crash Gladys, Statman, and yours truly every Sunday night, 7 to 9 Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern. That's right, Speed Freaks on the Sports Byline Radio Network.